much about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
I'm gonna need you to prepare yourself on this one.
I'm prepared.
Yeah, prepare yourself some more. All right, look, there are no jurisdictional rivalries here. The local police begged us to take this. Where's your head?
It's on my pillow. I didn't sleep.
That's just the thing to wake you up.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
You do seem happier than usual. Granted, that bar is set about as low as the burning temperature of jet fuel. So how can it melt steel beams? Exactly. It can't.
I'm about to get in line. Head back to my pad. What can I say? Got that rent-a-car. Took advantage of that rent-a-car. We went out to Salvation Mountain. And we went out to Saltic Sea. We went to the Banana Museum, Palm Springs. Those miles and those rent-a-cars, you can do anything with that air conditioning. Anyway, got more music and things to play coming up right after the Monkees. Here they are.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Are you ready to get sexy?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Call right now and we'll get right back.
Roll another one.
How could you explain that?
Just like the other one.
Kevin, I've had it.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Does anybody else even work here?
Another
it's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Hey, who? Language.
Roll another one.
These nuts.
Just like.
I'm starting to agree with you. Okay.
This one seems to be about to end. I don't have another cent.
Would you believe a girl from L.A. would love Bill Withers?
But don't bogart that joint.
Let's burn this mother down.
Just pass it around.
I'm so not in the mood.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Fire beer mug.
And now.
I feel like I'm on your podcast. That first part everybody fast forwards through.
Our feature presentation.
Well, don't fast forward through this part. This is the good part. This is the rehearsal, man. This is the behind the scenes because the show doesn't really start till 6, right?
I don't think so. Sure. No.
Some days 8.
Mistakes are made. Or not at all.
Or not at all. Hey, party people. Welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean show. This time it's a Friday and it's the 26th of August. How's everybody?
Great.
Good.
Friday's a good thing.
Friday's great, and it feels like it was a long time coming.
Really? This is one of those weeks it seems like 11 days?
The weeks just with Bean.
Hey.
Right? Go so slow.
Hold on a second. What's that mean?
Just kidding, Bean.
What's that about?
Just kidding. You're cute.
I heard Allie right as we were preparing to go on, lamenting the fact that she has to live through Friday and Saturday and most of Sunday before her weekend really begins. Why?
Because of the 2-hour season finale of the night of.
And you would fast forward your weekend. You would give up.
I have a really fun weekend planned too. I have a spa day with friends.
Sounds like it.
I've got a great dinner. I would forego all of that just to get to Sunday and the East Coast viewing of that on HBO.
That's how excited you are about that finale.
I just really need to know if he's guilty, if he's innocent, what's going to happen.
You know, it's not real, right? You know, it's not a real trial where he's an actor playing a role. It doesn't really matter to him how it turns out, right?
What?
And John Turturro's feet are totally fine.
No, they are not, Chip. You take that back.
Look, I'm looking forward to it also, but I'm also looking forward to the hours between now and Sunday night. Well, don't you get that? Don't you have a visceral fear of Sunday nights? Aren't you just filled with dread?
I don't love Sunday nights. Sunday nights are my least favorite part of the weekend.
That's your back to school moment.
Absolutely,
man.
Yeah. But with this show happening?
This weekend.
Pretty excited.
You'll allow it.
I'll allow Sunday night.
There was a big story all over the interwebs yesterday about Kentucky Fried Chicken. Now, I guess for some years now, which has just gone by KFC. I wonder if they think that that worked, that if people thought, oh, if we don't call it Kentucky Fried Chicken, maybe people won't know the food that we serve is fried. So we'll call it KFC and that'll fool them.
Good strategy.
They've been doing that for a while, and they are one of the brands. There are a number of them that have a secret recipe, a closely guarded recipe.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that Coca-Cola is probably the most famous.
People
have been talking about for over 100 years. People talk about what's in Coke? How do they make Coke? And, you know, they talk about, and KFC does too, talk about how, in their case, they have a 770-pound safe encased in 2 feet of concrete, guarded by video cameras and motion detectors, KFC says, guarding their original fried chicken recipe as one of the biggest trade secrets in the world. The Fort Knox of fried chicken, if you will. Now, in all honesty, what is it that they think is going to happen if their recipe gets out? Do they think that all over America, people are going to be opening up Tennessee fried chicken restaurants?
I'm opening up AFC.
Right.
It's going to just slay. Absolutely.
Right across the street from their restaurants.
Maybe next door.
And you're going to use their recipe to make your chicken. That's what they're afraid of? That's why it's so important?
It has to be. Right?
I guess. I mean, the way they treat it, yeah. So it's been over 60 years since KFC was founded. And recently, the Chicago Tribune did an interview with Colonel Sanders' nephew. Now, Colonel Sanders is, now you see him played by different comedians. He was the guy with the white hair and the beard and the mustache, wears the white suit, used to advertise Kentucky Fried Chicken long after he sold the franchise. Mm-hmm. But he's the guy who actually started the restaurant. He's the guy who came up with the recipe and started selling the chicken, you know, in a small town in Kentucky. All right, so they did an interview with his nephew. I'm not sure why. And the guy was telling stories about his uncle, Colonel Sanders, and showed a scrapbook, a family scrapbook that had belonged to Colonel Sanders' second wife. Lots of photos, and in the final pages was a handwritten recipe for Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, no.
With the actual list of the 11 spices that are in Kentucky Fried Chicken. He told the reporter, this is the original 11 herbs and spices that were supposed to be so secretive. He said that he had never shown it to a reporter before. And he added that as a boy, his job in the family business was to mix the spice blend in a tub on the roof of the garage.
Well, this doesn't sound sanitary at all.
That's how the ingredients.
Right?
That's how they used to sell it before it became all fancy and was mass produced and sent out all over the world, right? So this seems like a little bit of a scoop. And by the way, the main ingredient, he said, he calls it the secret ingredient because back in the 1950s, nobody was familiar with white pepper. White pepper is what gives it that special feeling that the rest of the chicken doesn't get.
The special feeling, sure.
Well, Kentucky Fried Chicken, as you can imagine, takes any threat to its secret recipe seriously. They have sued in the past to keep it under wraps, and they, through an official spokesperson this week, said that the recipe is incorrect. Many people have made these claims over the years. No one has been accurate, and this one isn't either, which sounds to me like they're lying.
That is suspect.
It seems pretty legit if this is the colonel's actual nephew.
And the scrapbook.
And it's handwritten, and it was owned by the colonel's wife, and this guy used to make it when he was a kid. I mean, it sounds to me like it's legit.
Yeah.
But in case you're wondering what the recipe is, it involves salt and thyme and basil and oregano, celery salt, black pepper, dried mustard, paprika, garlic salt, ground ginger, white pepper. It's 11 spices you mix with 2 cups of white flour. Boom. There you go.
So there's no special feeling.
Yeah, you get the special feeling.
Special feeling recipe.
Yeah.
So there's no shocking mystery recipe here.
No.
You don't eat the ground up heart of a baby robin. There's nothing like that in there. Not sure why that was
what
my example.
The hell, Pete.
Fuck you.
It's just white pepper. So anyway.
I'm sorry. For what?
Yeah, what was that? I didn't make it for my recipe. Hold on.
It was the ground up heart of a baby robin, which isn't. I don't want anyone to misunderstand. It's not in the recipe.
Okay. So it's not. Okay,
so it's not in the recipe. Anyway, so that if you're eager to make your own Kentucky Fried Chicken, boom, now you can find the recipe on the internet. All right, let's talk about today's all new Kevin DeBeach show, shall we?
This is all way out of line. You suck.
You suck.
All right. Well, give us a chance. We've barely gotten out of the starting gate here. It is Friday. That means Ralph's got the movie beat. Also, we're going to talk to a guy who made a video for Consequence of Sound, which is an outstanding music website that I love very much. And he has done a deep dive into a problem that we hear about so much from K-Rock listeners, which is, why can't I buy tickets to any concerts?
Yeah.
Whatever the show is, I go online, 1 minute later it's sold out, mm-hmm. and 2 minutes later there's hundreds of seats on StubHub or eBay or Craigslist.
Ugh.
What's up with that?
It's the worst.
He's going to explain why that is and what's being done to try to change that. Also, Go Topless Day is happening this Sunday down in Venice. I think this is 5-6 years, something like that, they've been doing mm-hmm. that. We're going to talk to a spokesperson for Go Topless Day. This is the group of women who are trying to free the nipple, who
sure.
believe that it is sexist that they can't walk around topless like men can walk around topless. And I'm with them, 100%. I'm willing to. This is where I'm going to plant my flag, man.
That's not. Oh,
not a euphemism.
I'm sorry.
Not a euphemism.
Okay.
I'm just saying, if ladies, if you want to take your top off, I'm with you. Got a brand new internet roundup on the program today. Alex Jones made national news yesterday.
Oh, no.
Our favorite Infowars.com conspiracy nut. He is incensed. He is crazy. He was called out by name by Hillary Clinton yesterday. And he has responded.
Uh-oh.
So we got that for you on the program today. More tickets for our Breakfast with Sting, because that's happening next Wednesday here at K-Rock in the Red Bull Sound Space. You're running out of time to win those. And Ralph has the showbiz beat, and that's next right after this on K-Rock. So you're telling me Bishop's opening for Coldplay?
Yeah.
In stadiums?
In stadiums, Bean.
She's been doing this like 6 months.
Right.
Yeah.
What must that be like to go from writing those songs in your bedroom and the next thing you know you're in front of 100,000 people?
Unbelievable.
It's
probably good. I would think.
I guess so.
I probably would agree, Ralph. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess there aren't a lot of downsides to that. Now that I shouldn't worry about her. She's fine. Okay. Hey, it's 5:54. It's Friday morning. That's the voice of Ralph Garman. Means it's time for our first look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Well, you know, earlier in the week, we took a look at Forbes magazine list of the highest paid actresses in Hollywood. Over the span of one calendar year, we saw how much they made, and it was stunning how much money is being made by folks. Well, if women are making that much, how about the fellas? It's more.
It's shocking.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So Jennifer Lawrence made how much? She was number one. What did she make? Was it around $46 million or something like that?
42, I think, somewhere in
okay.
there. Okay. Yeah.
All right. And now we're going to feel sorry for her because we're...
I'm telling you, the number one man on the list made more than $20 million. More than
Jennifer
Lawrence.
Okay. All right.
So you want to take some shots at who's in the top 10 of the highest paid actors over the past calendar year?
Dr. Boogie,
let me see. Let me check here real quickly. Not in the top 10. This year. All right, now, kids, if you're going to play a little game, everybody take a turn, okay?
All right,
otherwise, it makes just for noise and nobody likey, okay?
You go first, Jeff.
You're going for your little comedy audio bites. Let's make sure we do it in an orderly fashion, please, okay?
Jesus.
Okay, no, it's not Jesus. He's not on the top.
I think it was Davy Jones.
No, Davy Jones not on the list.
Johnny Asshole.
Okay, no.
Dweezil Zappa.
No.
Isil Puig.
Not on the list.
Professor from Gilligan's Island.
No.
Boba Fett.
No.
Al Jolson.
No, did not make it this year.
The son of Flubber.
No, that's not a person. It's a movie.
Albert Einstein.
He is not an actor.
Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel, seventh on the list.
Oh, God.
Seven with $35 million over the past year.
Oh, then I'm going to go The Rock because he should make more than Vin Diesel.
Well, Allie, you would win all the prizes because Dwayne The Rock Johnson is number one with $64.5 million.
Yay!
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's 1 year's worth of income.
That's,
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to, it's a hot take, I know, but that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a good living right there.
Yeah.
All right, let's think seriously, though. Dudes.
Oh, now you want to get serious. Okay.
Yeah, well, now that we've broken the seal. All right, so we got The Rock and we got Vin Diesel. How about Harrison Ford?
Don't be a fool. No, not in the top 10.
No, really?
Come on.
Steve.
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon, number three on the list. Allie, yeah. Thank you for actually playing along.
You're
I was being serious. I thought all of his gigs were busy.
$55 million.
Wow.
$55 million at number three.
I've got a guess.
Oh, do you?
A real one.
You don't want to play Disney serious. Little comedy? You want to push a little comedy button over there? You know, no. You little monkey?
Not this time. Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr., eighth on the list. He made $33 million over the past year in a tie with Bollywood actor Shah Rukh Khan. Mm.
Shah Rukh Does Khan. He know Fan Big Bang?
Shah Rukh Khan. Anyone?
Okay. All right.
Anyone?
Who are we missing here? Who
did you see? You're missing five.
All right. How about, I don't think this will be on the list, but I'll say it anyway, which is maybe not how I should play the game. Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay.
Ben Affleck.
You just have a rest.
Samuel Jackson works a lot.
Ben Affleck, sixth on the list.
Oh,
Allie, sixth
yes.
on the list for
Allie,
40,
you're good at this.
$43 million.
They're all my favorites yeah. that I'm naming.
Chris Pratt?
Chris Pratt. Okay, monkey. You can just get back in your cage.
All right. We give up, Ralph. Who else is on the list?
Well, at number 10, of course. Can't believe you guys didn't think of it. Akshay Kumar.
Oh, sure.
Akshay Kumar,
Kill
Bollywood
the
actor. $31.5 million at number 10. Number five, a gentleman named Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp is fifth on the list with $48 million at number five. Number four, a gentleman who's new to the industry, so I can understand maybe why you didn't come up with his name, Tom Cruise. Thomas Mapother Cruise.
What has he been in this year?
Fourth on the list.
Yeah, what has he been in?
He has been in movies.
What was the last thing that came out with Tom Cruise?
He was in a movie about a man
uh-huh.
who had to overcome a challenge.
Yeah. It was a good one.
Yeah. I don't know. Was it Tomorrow? Something?
Edge of Tomorrow was 2014. Mission Impossible Rogue Nation was 2015. Mm. So that might be the money. That we're talking about is whatever
yeah.
he got paid for that.
Maybe that's what
isn't he one of those actors who gets a percentage of profits?
I believe
too?
He does get some back end action, as they say.
Oh. Yes.
And number two, your head's going to explode. You're going to say no way. You're going to say that's unbelievable. You're going to say I can't wrap my head around that. You'll never. You if I gave you 100 guesses, you'd never come up with number
really?
Two.
Really?
Well, I didn't come up with one single person in the top 10.
You're awful because you're eating your ground up baby Robin hearts over there. That's why you're confused.
This is a movie actor?
It is a movie actor indeed.
Is he older?
He is older.
Is it Michael Caine?
It is not Michael Caine.
Okay, I really love him.
This is not a list of the top 10 actors Allie okay. loves from Forbes okay. magazine. This is money making actors.
Is it
Morgan Freeman?
No, it's not working.
That's a good guess, though. Is it Clint Eastwood?
It's not Clint Eastwood, no. Yeah, I started off by saying if I gave you 100 guesses, you would never come up
with
it.
And I want to do 96 more.
So now you're going to just keep guessing, even though I've guaranteed that you wouldn't come up with it.
Older actor. Is he American?
No.
Oh. Is he British?
No.
Is he...
Is he bigger than a bread box?
Is he Mel Gibson?
No, he's not Mel Gibson.
You say he wasn't American or British. Oh. I'm just thinking Australian. Is he Russell Crowe?
He's not Russell
Crowe. Is he Hugh Jackman?
No, he's not.
Is he Australian
at
all?
He's not Australian in any way.
All right. Well, that narrows it down.
Is he... Oh! Jackie Chan!
Jackie Chan, Allie.
Look at Allie McKay!
Jackie Chan at number two with $61 million he made in the past year.
Wow.
Talk about a guy we haven't seen on screens in America in forever.
That's the thing.
Jackie
it's about
Chan.
America, but it turns out there's another world out there besides America.
No.
But a world that's not as good as ours.
No,
though, right?
We're number one. We're number
right.
one. Because,
I've heard that.
Because Lochte. That means. By the way, see, so he just got a big endorsement deal, Ryan Lochte. There's no such thing as shame or being or like bad publicity in America
for
anymore.
What?
For throat lozenges.
Because when I think of Ryan Lochte, I think of.
Because, Allie,
yeah.
Pine Brothers throat lozenges
uh-huh.
are forgiving on your throat.
No, sir.
Oh, yeah, that's the campaign.
Okay.
So he's looking for forgiveness, and he's going to take a Pine Brothers lozenge because it's forgiving.
F you, Pine Brothers.
On your throat. So you got that.
Imagine
I could use a Pine Brothers right now.
Imagine how long it'll take him to cut a 30-second commercial.
Oh.
I need the outtakes.
Mozgov will look like
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine in comparison. I can't imagine the dumbness.
Get this weak stuff out of here.
Right, Moz? Get this weak stuff out of here. Today's celebrity birthdays. Garbage singer Shirley Manson celebrates her birthday today.
Remember the Shirley Manson times, Rob?
My good friend Shirley Manson.
When she whispered in your ear.
She sure did.
And before that, she did a little come hither thing to you.
Yeah, a little gesture, and then there was much hugging throughout the land.
Yeah.
Adrian Young of No Doubt is 47. Melissa McCarthy's 46. Chris Pine, Captain Kirk himself, 36 years old today.
Of the Pine Brothers cough drop empire, if I recall correctly.
No, that's not correct. No. Macaulay Culkin is 36 years old today. This kid is now 36. How about that? You can't see what I did, people, because it's radio, but I went and I put my hands on either side of my face.
Sure. Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Comedian John Mulaney's 34. Dylan O'Brien, the actor, turns 25. And Kiki Palmer from Scream Queens, 23. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Tovlo here in the world famous K-Rock.
That's not Tovlo.
So.
Oh. That's Beyonce.
Oh. Sounds like Tovlo.
Hey, it's Friday morning.
Tovlo!
It's Friday morning. You know, for a lot of people, remember it was Kevin, right? The blonde kid that used to work with us? Friday rolls around. Might have been Dennis.
Yeah. I think it was Dennis.
Friday rolls around, and all he's thinking is, how quickly can I get myself to a movie theater?
Yes.
Kevin is one of those guys who just lives for the movies.
I love the movies, and I love Red Vines.
What killed him. I don't know what killed him, but he might have been killed in movie theater. I'm not sure. But it is Friday, and that means it is time for the movie beat, and that means it's Ralph Garman time. Hit it, Steve.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
What a truly eclectic batch of feature films for your entertainment enjoyment this weekend.
All right.
A little something for everybody. Let's kick things off with a horror film about a radio personality in Los Angeles who actually does his show from a remote island. And the noises he causes that cause some listeners to actually commit suicide. It's a horror film called Don't Breathe.
What? That's funny.
Actually, no. It's about a group of friends who break into the house of a wealthy blind man. They think, oh, this guy is an easy sucker. We're gonna take him for everything he's worth, right? It's an easy score. The guy's blind. How can he stop us?
Right?
Oh, are they wrong? Don't Breathe. Opens up a whole new world of whoop-ass on these kids. Stars Stephen Lang, Jane Levy, and others. Here's some clips from the trailer of Don't Breathe.
We messed up to rob a blind guy, isn't it?
Who's there?
Stay right there.
How many of you are there?
Man, all right. Just let me go, please.
We're trapped in here.
There has to be a way out of here.
Now you're gonna see what I see.
Yeah, you are. The Hollers.
Holla.
Opens up in limited release this weekend. This is a family drama / comedy. A dramedy, if you will. But a man who returns to his small hometown after learning that his mother's fallen ill and is about to undergo surgery. Doesn't sound like it's very funny, but it is. It's bittersweet. It stars John Krasinski, directed by a young man named John Krasinski.
Oh.
Charlton Copley also stars in the film. Charlie Day, Richard Jenkins, one of my favorite actors. Anna Kendrick.
Wow.
Margot Martindale.
Wow.
As the mom.
Why have I not heard anything about this?
You're hearing about it now.
Right, but until today, though.
You don't have to hear everything before it happens. Now you can just hear this now.
Sounds good.
Hear it now. Here's some clips from the trailer of The Hollers.
What's this?
Ice cream and pretzels. One of my mom's favorite things.
Hey, how about heart attacks? Is that one of her favorite things, too?
You have a problem with me.
Why does your mom's nurse hate you?
He's married to Gwen.
Gwen, you're Gwen.
Wow, you look beautiful. But I don't feel anything for her anymore, okay? You're an amazing looking guy.
What are you doing?
I agreed to the divorce. I didn't agree to some strange man hanging around my daughters.
Okay.
Get down.
What is it?
John, get down.
What?
He's at the window.
Oh, my God, mine doesn't work.
What?
Mine doesn't work.
Don't grab.
My seat doesn't work. My seat is coming.
Holla!
Looks awesome. The Sea of Trees.
All right, now you're just making stuff up.
Sea of Trees, a new director, new film from director Gus Van Sant.
Oh.
It's about a suicidal American who befriends a Japanese man who's lost in a forest near Mount Fuji. And the two have to search for a way out. Sea of Trees, as you may know, is a real place where the Japanese go sometimes just to end it all. Yep.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Oh, oh. it's like a suicide destination?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very popular. Very popular spot for the suiciders. Matthew McConaughey stars Naomi Watts, Ken Watanabe. All star in Sea of Trees. Here's some clips from the trailer.
All the anger and the pretending and the fighting, it all got put on hold.
It is during our darkest times that our loved ones are closest.
I don't want to die, Arthur. In some cold, empty room surrounded by people who are only there because it's their job to be.
You can go back there whenever you want to.
Promise me.
I promise. Do you love her?
Wasn't anything on Earth.
A lot of whispering.
A lot of whispering in Sea of Trees.
I don't know if I'll see the movie, but I have a new vacation destination to
Sure, you should go there just with some binoculars and kick back with some popcorn and just enjoy the death, Bean.
Right? We can do a live Bean's Death Corner from there.
Bloodfather. Oh, the Bloodfather.
Mm. I make him off and can't refuse.
I think that's
oh, the, Bloodfather, you are that's so a, so much a nice guy. I love having you on my side.
Really?
You come to me on the day of my daughter's wedding, knowing I cannot refuse you anything. That's right, a blood father.
Am I thinking of the wrong movie?
The Godfather.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, this different. Movie stars Mel Gibson. Mel's back.
Okay.
Aaron Moriarty, Diego Luna, Michael Parks. Story of an ex-con who reunites with his estranged, wayward 16-year-old daughter, and he has to protect her from drug dealers who are trying to kill her. Who better to do that than Mel Gibson? Right?
Right.
He'll kill. He'll kill in a heartbeat. Here's some clips from the trailer of Bloodfather.
It's good to meet your friends.
You always pick the wrong rednecks.
Come on, man, let's go.
I got no idea how you piss guys like that off. What do they want from you?
They worked for my boyfriend. I killed him.
Lydia Carson could be traveling with John Lake.
That warrant is for me. You could go home.
You got raised by three stepfathers. Should have been me.
I'm a murderer.
And you'll face God for it. But not yet.
Yeah! Bloodfather!
I feel like you're making most of these movies up, Ralph.
I'm not. I'm not making up Mechanic Resurrection.
Come on.
Mechanic Resurrection!
Nope.
Mechanic, colon, Resurrection. The next in the Mechanic franchise, Jason Statham. Jason Statham's in the movie.
Right.
He kills people. He's a mechanic.
He's a, really?
Yeah. Mechanic is underworld slang, Allie, for hitman.
Oh.
Mechanic.
Oh.
He fixes things, yo.
Like Ray Donovan?
Like Bean did to that rooster that one time, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Jessica Alba, Tommy Lee Jones, Michelle Yeoh also star in this film. You know, the mechanic, Arthur Bishop, has to kill a bunch of people. Because that's what he does. He's the mechanic. Mechanic Resurrection. Mechanic.
I don't think any of this is real.
Here's some clips from the trailer of Mechanic Resurrection.
I've been waiting too long to get even with you.
You have 36 hours to eliminate all the targets on this list. Or they will eliminate me.
There's no sign of the intruder, Mr. Adams.
That's because he's sitting right in front of me here in the safe room, off.
I spent my whole life sending people up to die. See you up the lift.
They're relentless, aren't they?
Oh, so am I.
Yeah, so am I.
All
right. Right? A lot of louds in that.
Yeah.
It sounds like it.
That's the one Kevin would go to if he was still alive.
If he were still with us, yeah.
And lastly, Hands of Stone. You know the legend of Roberto Duran. He's more than just Nomas. One of the greatest fighters of all time. And his equally legendary trainer, Ray Arcel. It's also featured in this film. It's about how they change each other's lives. Edgar Ramirez stars as the famous boxer Roberto Duran. Usher's in this film. Robert De Niro, Ruben Blades, great cast. Here's some clips from the trailer of Hands of Stone.
Duran should fight no one but me. I don't lose.
You put God in the ring and I will beat him.
And now, Sugar Ray Leonard.
I work all my life. I didn't have any food when I was a kid. I'm hungry. I don't want to be hungry anymore.
He needs to come back. Move back, move back.
Alberto Duran, the man with the hands of stone.
We are in for a serious fight.
Hands of stone! Hands of stone.
Boy, you sure were accurate when you said it was an eclectic weekend.
Right?
Yes.
Thank you.
You sure were.
I try to be accurate.
What will you see, Ralph?
Boy, if I had to pick one movie this weekend, I was a big Duran fan. I came up when he was the top of the boxing game. And Edgar Ramirez is a great actor. Robert De Niro, Ruben Blades, Usher.
Ellen Barkin?
What happened?
Ellen Barkin's in it.
Barkin's
she
in
plays
this too?
Robert De Niro's wife,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. There you go.
So that would be my pick.
That would be my pick, too, I think.
Want to go to the movies, Ralph?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
You are less than 30 minutes away from your chance to win tickets for Breakfast with Sting.
Breakfast with Sting.
Which could be next Wednesday. Allie, are you already planning your outfit you're going to wear when Sting's around?
I'm going to wear something really spectacular.
It's got to be cute when Sting's in the building, right?
It's Sting. It's right. Sting.
Anyway, if you want to be there in person, we'll give you a chance to win coming up in minutes. Here's a viral video that I am fascinated to find out more about. It was all over the internet this week. It is unknown who this woman is, but she's become a sensation. A YouTube user named Devin Hauser put this video up last week. And she's called they call her Granny in the video, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know what her actual name is. And she is very colorful. She's, she's wearing a, what do you call those outfits? Those outfits that look like they're made out of one piece of cloth?
Like a muumuu?
Yeah, she's wearing a muumuu. And she's got a walker.
Okay.
And she has a very colorful mouth on her.
And by colorful, she is a foul-mouthed lady.
She does swear more than your average 80-year-old.
Yes.
That's for sure. Here's a little bit of what is being referred to as the foul-mouthed granny.
Yeah. I've smoked the marijuana whenever I was in school. My name's Granny, and I came here to f*** somebody's husband. Long f***ing style. I got a ball head. I'm a savage. Gangsta, you better recognize I don't play. I'm a savage. My name's Granny, and I ain't got a ball head. And I had surgery. And I need a motherfucker. Cigarette. I'm a gangster, homie. Homeboy.
Why is this thing yelling at us?
I don't know.
What are the circumstances going on in this video where an 80-year-old woman is yelling, you better recognize I don't play, I'm a gangster.
And she came here to F somebody's husband.
Well, we asked Dave if there's any way he could track her down, and not only did he, but we have Agnes O'Neill on the phone with us on K-Rock right now. She is the woman in the Foul Mouth Granny video that is all over the internet. Hi, Mrs. O'Neill. How are you?
You.
Right off the bat.
Wow. Well,
goddamn mother.
Okay. Well, listen, Agnes, what are the circumstances of this video? Who's filming you and what are you so angry about?
Some little was filming me. And I hate him because I'm a savage.
Is it your grandchild?
It's a little head.
Okay.
Why are you a savage? What does that even mean, Granny?
I'm gangster, homie. I'm gangster, and I need a mother cigarette.
Right. But why are you gangster? What is so gangster about you? You're a really old lady on a walker.
I am a gangster, and I will you up.
Okay, but there seem to be a lot of rage issues. Aren't these the golden years? Shouldn't you be enjoying yourself?
It's the golden years because I got a bald head, and I'm a savage, and you can eat my c***.
Wow, Granny.
What, whore?
Okay. Really? You're just yelling at us out of nowhere. What made you so angry today?
Because I'm here to c*** somebody's husband.
Okay, what about that? I mean,
right,
what's
in
the... Oh, wow.
With a big
That's too graphic.
With a nail in it.
Oh. With a nail in it. Why, that sounds painful.
Why would you put a nail in it, Agnes?
I like to people up.
Yeah, you do. Oh, man. I just...
Stick a right in the with my whole and then a big and I'll take a big giant and then I'll blow that up.
Oh, my God. That's awful. Look, you say in the video that you smoked marijuana whenever you were at school. I think it may be time for you to revisit marijuana. I think that would calm you down a little bit.
I am calmed down. I've been smoking all morning.
Okay.
Are you sure it's marijuana?
Oh, yes. Well, sounds like you got it going on.
Oh, wait, that was my flocker.
Oh, no.
Oh, now I got to eat some mother face off.
Please don't do that, Granny. Don't eat somebody's face off. Come on, that's no way to live.
I'm a gangster.
Okay.
Damn it.
Okay.
I'll eat a mother face if I want to.
Okay. All right. Well, look, we're going to go. I hope you have a great day. I hope you feel better.
I hope that you up your with a and then you with.
Well said.
You sucker.
Coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, you are going to want to stick around to hear Sammy Jarouche. He is with the website Consequence of Sound, and they put a video up this week called Sold Out Inside America's Ticketing Landscape. Who hasn't been depressed about not being able to buy tickets to a thing except on the secondary market for 10 times what face value is, right?
Yep.
It's a problem, kids.
It is.
Anyway, we'll talk to Sammy about that coming up.
Sammy, first, what's his name?
Jarouche.
Jarouche. Jarouche. Jarouche is on fire.
Yay!
Thank you.
Y'all are killing it right now.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Friday. Here's Ralph.
How happy was Justin Bieber Wednesday night?
About what?
Well, it was Sophia Richie's 18th birthday.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
right.
So there was a big party in Los Angeles at the Doheny Room. And a lot of her friends came out to celebrate, including the Biebs, who you got to know. He was there saying, all right.
It's right? on.
It's time to get it on.
How old is Justin now?
24,
5, something like that.
24, yes, I think.
Yeah. Right.
So it's not quite creepy. Yet.
Yes, it is.
Is it?
When he was dating her and she was 17 years old.
Yeah, maybe so.
Only Bean could not see the creep.
Well, look.
You have creep blindness.
Here's the thing. A six-year age difference, I guess, at that point, is different than if he were 30 and she were 24, I guess.
Well, it's so different when one's an adult and one's a child.
Right. All right. I'm going to say, yeah, creepy.
Oh, now.
I had to think about it.
Back in the ice cream van. Bean. Love never runs smooth, though, unfortunately, for showbiz people.
Oh, no.
Yeah. How about poor Larry King? Rumor has it he might be headed for divorce court for the 8th time. Huh. Sean King, his longtime wife, according to the New York Post, has been carrying on a torrid affair with a public speaking guru named Richard Green. Sources close to the couple are saying that Larry is embarrassed and furious, heartbroken, and would be even more upset if he could remember who his wife was.
No.
How could you cheat on, if you've got Larry at
right?
home, how could you possibly
you
cheat
have
on
all
that?
All that 82-year-old man there all wrapped.
Is he only 82?
Only 82, and he's wrapped up in those suspenders. He's got all that going on.
Ugh.
Oh, how could she stray from that?
Okay, just cool it. Life is a breeze.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, some breezes, as you know, are 110 miles an hour and get promoted up the hurricanes. I just thought I'd pass that along.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Larry.
Lara Wasser, you're on the phone. Hello.
Right?
Oh.
See, she's a famous divorce
famous
attorney.
Divorce attorney.
Yeah.
See?
Thank you.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
Yeah. You are lost. Lemmy. Ah, oh, Lemmy.
Still dead.
Oh.
My God.
I just want to see what we're talking about.
I'm just Lemmy. I miss him.
Okay.
I love him. As you know, he spent most of his days and nights on the same bar stool at the legendary Rainbow Bar and Grill on the Sunset Strip. Well, happy to report that his favorite watering hole now is a permanent tribute to Lemmy of Motorhead. A 6-foot, 300-pound bronze statue of Lemmy was unveiled Wednesday at the Rainbow. You'll find it on the back patio, now known as the Lemmy Lounge. The statue was created by an LA artist named Travis Moore. And it cost $23,000 to make, but that was all raised by Lemmy's fans, Motorhead fans. So they paid for the tab. It's nice to know.
It is crazy how much time he spent there. I mean, you could almost count on him being there if you ever stopped by the Rainbow.
Yes, he was always there.
Remember when we did our breakfast with Foo Fighters?
Mm-hmm.
Lemmy was there.
Yes, he was. And speaking of money, this surprised me. Not only because of the generosity, because I had no idea this guy still had this kind of money. A
gift was donated to the Los Angeles City College to help pay full tuition for music majors at the school and also pay for instruments and private musical tutoring. The donation was $10 million to LA City College, and it was donated by a guy named Herb Alpert.
Wow.
Herb Alpert, for those of you who don't know, was a big-time musician, songwriter, band leader in like the 60s and 70s, went on to start A&M Records back in the day. And then that label went out of business, and he just dropped off the radar. I didn't even know he was still around.
Huh.
But apparently he's got $10 million to give to LA City College.
Still around, still making records, too.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
Stop saying that.
Well, it's true. I have them all. I'm a big Herb Alpert fan.
There is no such thing.
I am a big Herb Alpert fan.
He had one song called Tijuana Brass, and that was the only thing that ever happened.
Well, that wasn't a song. That was the name of his band. But he had dozens of hit records, and he is not really played on the radio much anymore, but he's still making great, great music. It's nice to see a guy donate $10 million.
Come on! He said he did it because there's a lot of inner-city kids who are great musicians but just don't have the financial energy, he calls it, to go to a major school and learn music. And he wants to help the next generation of musicians, songwriters, and band leaders achieve their goals.
He is the founder of ISIS. He's the founder of ISIS.
He's not at all that. Today's celebrity birthdays, Kiki Palmer of Scream Queens is 23 years old today. Actor Dylan O'Brien, you know him from the Blaze Runner.
Maze Runner.
Maze Runner, that's it, yeah. I knew somebody was running from something. John Mulaney, the comedian, is 34. Macaulay Culkin's 36, as is Captain Kirk himself, Chris Pine. Melissa McCarthy's 46 years old today. Adrian Young of No Doubt turns 47. And garbage singer Shirley Manson celebrates her birthday today.
I'm only happy when it rains. Be okay when things are going wrong.
Come on.
If you missed her at Weenie Roast this year, she destroyed it.
She's the best.
She fell off the stage and didn't miss a beat. Mm-mm. Kept singing.
Yep.
On the way down, kept singing. Hit the ground, kept singing. Stood up, kept singing.
Yep.
Well, she's perfection.
She is perfection. As opposed to some people fall off a stage and go, ah! And they lay there. Ah, ah, ah,
I was unconscious, Ralph. Forgive me.
They have to bring a giant freaking board and strap him to it.
Well, the paramedics wanted to have a look at me.
Come on, Ralph.
I was Shirley Manson is so much more of a man than you are. Oh, God. She is so good and you're so bad.
Well, I can't argue with
you're
that.
You're the anti-Shirley.
She is better than we are. I agree.
You are, you. For sure, yes. Yeah.
Definitely better.
I fell. He's hitting his life alert necklace, his pendant, trying to get help. I can't get up.
Ugh, Ralph.
Worst. Right? Who's with me? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
In case anyone out there works for Fox News, that's for you. The band that you called the worst band in the world, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, here on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. Your chance at Breakfast with Sting tickets coming up in about 6 minutes here on K-Rock. But first, Allie, you watched this documentary that I brought in the other day,
I
right?
I did.
It's so great.
It's so aggravating.
Yes, we have all been there. Consequence of Sound, which is one of my all-time favorite music websites. I love it so much. They did an original documentary called Sold Out, Inside America's Ticketing Landscape. And I don't know that there's a listener out there who won't relate to this feeling. You get so excited. Maybe it's the K-Rock Greeny Rose. Maybe it's Adele at the Staples Center. Whatever it is you want to go see. You are there at your computer at 10 a.m. when tickets go on sale.
Refresh.
Boom, 10:01, sold out. Yeah. Boom, 10:02, thousands of tickets available at 5 or 10 times face value. How does it happen? What can be done about it, if anything? The man who may know the answer to some of these questions is on the phone with us right now. He is the director of video at Consequence of Sound, also the host of the Rock It Out blog. He is Sammy Jarusch, and he joins us on K-Rock right now. Sammy, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Thank you very much for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate the work you did on this. I wish there were more obvious solutions, because this, you have tapped in a vein of something that we hear about from our listeners almost every single day, and I'm sure you guys do the same at Consequence of Sound, right?
Yeah, it's crazy how many people will reach out and have discussed wanting to talk about concert tickets and how they can't get their hands on tickets and so forth. It's incredible how big of an issue this actually is.
And it's become so much worse in recent years. Because why? Because of bots, right?
It's the ticket bots, yes. So basically what will happen is brokers, mostly ticket brokers, they will employ these computer programs known as ticket bots. And what that does is it emulates human behavior, but it'll basically a human being will take about 2 to 3 minutes to navigate their way through a ticket site, whereas a bot will take a few seconds to get through the entire thing, get past the CAPTCHA, all that other stuff. So in the time it takes you to buy maybe 2 or 3 tickets to a show, a bot can snatch up, as we pointed out in the documentary, a bot can take up to 1 minute to snatch over 1,000 tickets to a show, and it doesn't even have to, like, you know, break a sweat.
Ugh, how I about hate them?
Now, I know that Senator Schumer has been on the forefront of this. You know, I think his came out of frustration of not being able to buy Bruce Springsteen tickets. So he is actually trying to enact legislation to make these bots illegal. But you can't. It's real hard to legislate technology, isn't it, Sammy?
It's hard to legislate because, yeah, you'd think that, you know, OK, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to fine the ticket brokers that, you know, employ bots, $16,000 fine. But with the way that, you know, technology progresses at such a rate in this day and age, I mean, you know, if one thing gets shut down, 3 more things are going to pop up in its place to try to help out the ticket brokers to keep getting these tickets. Because at the end of the day, these ticket brokers are like, hey, it's a business. And then they cite free market capitalism arguments. And, I mean, that's the argument that they're going to keep going back to time and time again. Look, I want to make my money. I have to make my money. This is my business. I have to do it. And ultimately, I may not be all that sympathetic to the fan that can't get their hands on tickets because I figured out a faster way to do it than you did.
Right, right. And one of the things that I noticed in watching your documentary, again, which you can see at consequenceofsound.net, is that there are lots of people wearing black hats in this scenario, including, in many cases, the artists themselves who authorize this and let this go on, and also, oftentimes, the venue who are happy to resell their own tickets that are not available to the general public right up front, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically an across-the-board issue. Usually the way it works is, you know, artists and management will set a price point for tickets at the venue, and then they have to work alongside the venue, and then the ticketing company that's going to be putting out the tickets. And once those tickets go out, I mean, then obviously they're bought up by either fans or by the ticket brokers, and then the scalpers may take them onto the street and try to sell them at a higher face value. So, I mean, it's really an across-the-board issue, and it basically, I mean, the only way that you can regulate something like this is you have to, in a way, I don't know how it'll happen, but you have to basically sit everybody down to a room and say, look, we all have to be on the same page, because at the end of the day, these tickets have to go to one person and one person only, the actual fans that want to get into the show, that want to get into the sports event, because they're the ones that are going to appreciate what they're watching most.
Right.
As to how they're going to regulate that and as to how they're going to fix that issue, like, you know, from the artist all the way down, at this point, is anybody's guess, man, because ultimately, at the end of the day, this is a business and everyone's trying to just make money and make their cut.
Remember back in the day, we used to line up at box offices?
Yeah.
Those were good times, right?
Those were good times. Let's go back to that. Take the whole day off.
Sammy, there's a clip in your documentary that I thought was really interesting. We're going to play here for our audience. And this is a guy who's an on-the-street scalper, and even he's ticked off on how he's getting squeezed out by the ticket brokers. Listen up.
My biggest event is Lollapalooza. You can make $15,000-$20,000 within 4 days. A 4-day event, you can make $15,000-$20,000. And the biggest event for our sporting events is NFL football. The brokers are at war with the scalpers because they don't want us around. They want to corner the market because they have the license and they can just post up and don't have to worry about being bothered by cops, by nobody, because they're ticket brokers and they have the license to do it.
This is the voice of Sammy Jarusch on the phone with us, by the way. We're talking about the video posted up at consequenceofsound.net all about Inside America's ticketing landscape, in case you're wondering why you can never buy tickets. I bought tickets to a show coming up at the Ryman in Nashville, Sammy, recently, and I was surprised to see this. And, of course, it's a small venue, so maybe they can get away with this. But they said that when I show up at the venue that night, I have to have my driver's license with me and the credit card that I purchased it with, And I have to have already told them who my guest is going to be. Otherwise, neither of us gets let in. And that's a way that they're trying to stop me from being able to buy those tickets and resell them. But something like that's not really practical at any venue that's more than a couple of thousand people, right?
Right. I mean, to let's say, like, if you go to, like, I don't know, something at, like, the Hollywood Bowl, or in Chicago's case, at Soldier Field or at the United Center. I mean, those are, you know, tens of thousands of seats in there. And to try to, you know, regulate who gets in by saying, okay, I need your driver's license, I need a sample of your DNA, I need blood, I need urine, I need a photo ID of your grandparents from 50 years ago, just to make sure that you are of that lineage. I mean, it's going to take a while to get everybody into the show, so by the time everybody gets in, you may only have a half full auditorium, if that. With smaller venues like in Chicago's case, like in the Metro, where maybe it's like 1,000, 1,500 people, you can do that by just setting the doors a little bit earlier, just so that everybody has time to get in, everybody has time to have their credentials checked. So in the case of a small auditorium, I mean, I think they've got the right idea because they have the ability to do that because they don't have to deal with as many people. But as far as, like, you know, the bigger venues, stadiums, arenas and whatnot, that's going to be a little bit more difficult because when you have, I mean, as you guys know, when you have people standing in line for too long, people get uppity and people get fidgety and they want to go home or they want to fight somebody. So at that point, they're going to try to just rush everybody in as fast as possible. And that's why you can basically, you know, go carte blanche when it comes to ticket regulation on those venues.
Is there any kind of optimistic note you can leave us on, Sammy? Anything that you discovered in the course of your research here that could give us hope for being able to buy tickets for some of these shows coming up?
Well, I mean, when I was speaking to the manager of Mumford & Sons, Adam Tudhope, he's in the documentary as well, he is basically just stressing time and time again that the artist ultimately always wants the fan inside the venue. They want to make sure that their fans, the people that appreciate their music, that appreciate their shows, are the ones inside. And I'm hoping that all other artists across the board, I mean, everybody from, like, Bruce Springsteen to Pearl Jam to Radiohead to Nine Inch Nails, all these other bands that have tried doing different ticketing methods to get people into their shows, I really hope that that is a mentality that seeps in across the playing field when it comes to all these artists so that they can just sit down and realize, hey, look, we need to take whatever action is necessary. Even if it means we end up losing a little bit of money, we just need to take as much action as we can to try to make sure that we can get our fans into the building, because if our true fans are in there, we're going to put on a better show because the energy is going to be that much greater from the people watching. So I really hope that, like, artists decide to just sit down and just be like, look, we need to make this happen one way or another. Let's get it done so that at the end of the day, everybody can have a good time. We can have a much better tour.
Could someone argue that they are still true fans that are getting into the venue? It's just that they're true fans who are wealthy enough to be able to afford these markups.
Well, I mean, anybody can claim that they're a true fan. If you're in the building, I mean, I don't think anyone's going to, you know, contest your fandom. Short of, unless you, like, can see people sitting in the boxes. And, I mean, everybody usually sees people in the boxes at an arena show. You're like, yeah, okay, they're not really here for the show. They're here to just get, like, the free food and the drinks and whatever.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, I guess ultimately, I mean, it, you know, you can't really look at somebody and, like, they have, like, a tattoo stamp on their forehead saying, true fan since 98 or something like that. But, yeah, you know, I mean, I guess it's hard. You can't just, like, call somebody out just because you think that they're not a true fan. But I don't know.
I hear the frustration in your voice, and that's why I wanted to have you on, because I could tell in the documentary that you feel just like everyone who's listening to our show right now, which is, it seems like the little guy, the regular guy who's playing by the rules and trying to buy tickets the day they go on sale, is getting squeezed out. And that's why I think your documentary is so well timed. It's called Sold Out: Inside America's Ticketing Landscape. You can see it right now on consequenceofsound.net. It's also on YouTube on the Consequence of Sound channel. Sammy, thanks so much for joining us. We enjoyed talking to you, sir.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Bye-bye. All right, you can't even buy tickets to our Breakfast with Sting that's coming up on Wednesday here at K-Rock, but you can win them right now if you're a Sting and or Police fan. We are looking for you. We'll give you a chance to earn those tickets if you call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll play the game next on K-Rock. Going to have an actual musical legend
thank
in the building.
You. Thank you
next,
so
no,
much.
No, no, not you, Ralph. That. Not you. No, no, no. Talking about Sting. No, talking about Sting, actually. Hey, Ralph. Mm-hmm. Ralph. Talking about Breakfast with Sting next Wednesday, 8 a.m. from the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. We have another pair of tickets to give away to you right now at 1-800-520-1067. The phone lines are packed with Sting fans. This one's called Kazoo and You.
It's Kazoo and You. Just guessed the tune we played for you. It's Kazoo and You, because we love kazoos and you do too. It's Kazoo and You, and you win some ticks It's not one, but two. It's Kazoo and you. Come on, let's play Kazoo and you.
Kazoo!
How many instruments do you play, Ralph?
Including the kazoo?
Including the kazoo, yeah.
One.
Wow.
Okay, all right. But you're feeling pretty confident that you can do Sting and or Police songs here, and our listeners will be able to identify them by title.
I am a little bit of a master.
Really?
Oh, all right.
You know that Dave, when he would do this, played the kazoo by the wrong end.
Yes.
About three times in a row.
And early on in his kazoo career, he would blow into it, not knowing you had to hum into it.
That's right. That's why Dave has been replaced.
I have taken over the kazoo duties, being sort of a maestro of the kazoo. Okay. I thought it was... For a breakfast of this magnitude,
yeah, you bring in the big guns.
Yeah, you don't want to have people work with a handicap, you know.
All right, so it's pretty self-explanatory. Monica is up first; she's in L.A. And you and the other callers, all you have to do is listen to Ralph play the kazoo, and then tell us what Police or Sting song it is. If you're right, you go into the drawing. Someone wins tickets to our breakfast with Sting. Monica, you ready to play?
Yes.
All right. Good luck.
Lonely?
I'm sorry, no.
Oh, sorry.
That was Roxanne this time. Roxanne! All right, but let's not be discouraged. Let's try Luis. He's on line two, Rancho Santa Margaritaville.
Oh, boy.
Good.
Hey, Luis, kazoo and you. Good luck. Listen up.
Thank you.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. You are in the drawing. You're one step closer to being America's Next Top Model. Congratulations. Please hold.
Coming into C-Stay.
Oh, right. Breakfast with Stain. That's what we're doing, right. All right. Chris is up next. Long Beach, line three. Hey, Chris.
Hey.
What do you think about Ralph's kazoo playing so far?
It's a little crazy.
It's pretty awesome, right? That's what you meant.
That's what he meant to say, right?
Yeah. That's what I really meant.
If we could translate. All right, good luck. What Sting or Police song is this?
All right. Okay. All right.
Yes, it is Fields of Gold. Thank you for making him stop. All right, well done. Chris is in. We're about to talk to a guy named Edder. You guys.
Edder Vetti?
Just Edder. Yes, Edder. What's Edder all about?
Edder's always better.
That's right.
But what the hell kind of it? What's the deal with Edder? How did you end up with that name?
Biblical. It's a biblical name. It's actually a river in Germany, and I am 100% Hispanic. So I don't know how that worked out.
That
one of those biblical rivers in Germany.
Sure. Right.
Which is from which?
From the
which
book,
Bible?
Book of Hans.
A lot of good stuff comes from Germany, I'm told, by the way. All right, Edder, listen up. Here's Kazoo and you. Go, Ralph. I think that's plenty. All right, Edder, what's up?
I don't know. A message in a bottle.
Sorry, no, this time Edder. It was So Lonely.
Ralph
sorry, dude.
Fired.
I think that was on you,
that
Edder.
Was
I thought Ralph
much,
was fine.
Sorry. There's two words in the freaking song, and I was kazooing them both.
All right, let's go to the first of two Nicks. This is Nick P. listening all the way out in Lake Elsinore. Hey, Nick P., how are you?
Doing great. Good morning.
We're playing Kazoo and You. Listen up. Here's Ralph. That's an outstanding use of a $500 million radio station, by the way, playing a kazoo on it.
I think so.
What do you think there, Nick?
Man, I have no idea.
Well, take a guess if you don't know.
Message in a bottle.
I'm sorry. This time it was Englishman in New York.
All right. What do I win?
you win nothing, Rodney. Yeah.
But thank you for playing anyway.
Come on, that was Englishman in New York, right?
It was. Yeah. Not you. Okay. Let's do the other Nick. He'll be our final contestant at a Silmar, this time line six. All right, Nick, you ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Nick, if you don't get that, if you don't get that, you're banned from being on our show forever.
Don't stand so close to me.
Oh my God.
No?
No. Try this one instead. I mean,
come
like,
on.
Really? Right? Like, really?
Like, really? For realies?
For realies. All right. It's either going to be Chris or it's going to be Louise. One of them and a guest will join us Wednesday for our Breakfast with Sting here at K-Rock and the Red Bull Sound Space. Who's our winner, please, Ellen McKay?
The winner is Louise.
Yes!
Yeah!
Louise.
Yeah,
hey, we'll see you Wednesday, man. Thanks for playing Wednesday. Kazoo and You.
Kazoo and You.
Kazoo! You're listening to world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. If you're looking to free the nipple this weekend, Go Topless Day has come around again. That's on Sunday in Venice. Venice Beach, that is. Not Venice, the city in Italy. And we'll be talking to a representative from that coming up at 8 o'clock. Allie, I'm no fan of...
Do you think anyone was confused?
Well, I just want to make sure it's clear. I'm no fan of Hillary Clinton, as you guys know.
Yes.
But now she's really ticking me off because now she's coming after our boy Alex Jones.
Oh, no.
And no one messes with Alex Jones from Infowars.com because he's the most entertaining thing on the internet.
True.
Secretary Clinton gave a speech in Reno yesterday where she bemoaned the alt-right. You know what this is? You know what the alt-right is? Have you heard that term?
I have.
These are the people who are even far beyond the regular Drudge Report or Fox News, the legitimate conservative media. These are the people on the fringes. These are the neo-Nazi groups. Mm-hmm. These are the freaks and the crazies and the conspiracy theorists and all of those. And Hillary called them out by name yesterday, actually made fun of Alex Jones in her speech. Alex responded, of course.
They're coming after the press, folks, and they're scared of us, so they want to have this fake moral authority. Like they're up there on the high mountain going, and he talks to the kook, Alex Jones. And in the desert, he goes to an oasis and drinks good water. What a kook. That's why they admit now they want to censor us. And that's why they said Breitbart and other grassroots conservative media has no right to exist because we're kicking your butt
right
with the information because it's the internet age. We can show what a fraud you are, lady.
Right?
And it's not that I'm being recognized by them. I mean, they run Media Matters. They attack me every day now. They attack me all over the CNN, MSNBC. But to have the demon itself, try to turn InfoWars into some weapon that's going to bring down Trump, when, of course, Trump's winning by a landslide. They are panicking. They are completely freaking out.
Wait. Look. Trump is winning by a landslide? Yes, he's winning by a landslide.
I did not know that.
And then Alex did, on his show, play-by-play of Mrs. Clinton's speech.
Let's go back to the source of the deception, the creature known as Hillary.
Just recently, Trump claimed that President Obama founded ISIS.
He said you did, too.
And he has repeated that over and over again.
Because you did, wench.
His latest paranoid fever dream is about my health.
And the giant diaper you're wearing.
Oh, my God.
And all I can say is, Donald, dream on.
Look at that barracuda, man. Look at that demon. Man, oh, man, I can't handle her.
Look at the bags in her eyes. The next,
She could literally star in the new Batman as a Joker. No makeup needed.
She could star in the new Batman as the Joker. Look at that barracuda, said Alex Jones.
I am not looking forward to this Mystery Science Theater reboot. It looks awful.
Well, that was for reals. That happened at Infowars.com yesterday. We are always delighted to welcome our friend Alex Jones back to the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Alex, how are you?
I'm surprised that you're actually happy to have me on because I know how you represent the mainstream media that seems to want to take shots at the Internet Age Information Bureaus that are giving out the truth.
So Hillary Clinton is the demon. She's an it now.
Of course she's the demon. Uh-huh. You look at her, you can see the devil fire in her eyes and the rictus smile that's stuck on her face. She is, of course, a demon. She's a barracuda. She's a barademon. She's a cuda. She's a demacuda.
I think the point she was trying to make is that sites like yours have made mainstream what used to be considered fringe. Like, you have now put things like 9/11 truthers into the mainstream for a lot of people.
Yeah,
that's what she's talking
about. We're
actually
giving out true information, if that's what you mean. Yes, we're pulling back the curtain and revealing how things really work in this country, and that's what they're afraid of, because Donald Trump will win by a landslide, and she is deathly afraid of the fact that she no longer can keep the truth away from the American people.
Yeah.
Like, for example, where did candy corn Oreos come from? Not from America. No, of course, they were made on the planet Zernon.
Oh.
Okay, weren't they just made by the same people that make regular Oreos?
That's what they want you to believe. You're listening to the demon.
So Zernon is making Oreos.
Yes, and they are. And that's why we have to stop all the exporting of our jobs to Zernon.
Okay, I wasn't aware that was going on, but I think that might be the type of crazy thing that is maybe getting out there in the press that just isn't true.
Well, if that's not true, then tell me, how does Hanes underwear wick away moisture?
I don't know how underwear works, but...
Yeah, exactly. You don't know because they won't tell you. They keep it from you. Because if they did tell you that, then they have to tell you what's the difference between a cantaloupe and a honeydew.
What is the difference between a cantaloupe and a honeydew?
I don't know. I have no idea because it's manufactured, obviously, in some farm somewhere. They're genetically programmed to give you honeydew or cantaloupe. And once you do and you eat them, then they can track you.
You said on your broadcast yesterday that Hillary Clinton is actually dead and is just being propped up to make these speeches.
No! Absolutely, yes. They use a desalinization process in order to remove all the sodium from her body, and then she is simply maneuvered by a series of levers and pulleys directed at by Lex Luthor.
And that sounds reasonable to you, Alex?
Of course it is. They take her empty carcass and they use a Twinkie cream injector to fill her up with some sort of life-giving biotoxin.
I see. All right. What else don't we know about Hillary Clinton because the man isn't sharing it?
She's raising the prices on EpiPens.
Oh, that's her? She's behind that?
Of course she is, because she knows that we're all actually allergic to the smell of formica.
Okay, I'm not sure any of this is true, what you're saying.
It doesn't really matter if it's true. I just yell it loud and people buy it.
Hey, it's Friday morning, you guys. Thanks for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world famous K-Rock. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey.
What you talking about?
Did you guys catch Britney Spears during carpool karaoke last night?
I saw that it existed. I've not had a chance to watch it yet.
Yeah, James Corden, of course, of The Late Late Show has this ongoing segment where he drives around with celebrities and they sing along to their music and they chat and he interviews them. It's very charming. And Britney Spears, of course, has a new album due.
It's out today.
I think she decided it was a good idea to do a little promotion and stop by James Corden's for some carpool karaoke. If you watch it, you realize, and this is, you know, not meant to be a slam, but she is lip-syncing enormously to her own music.
No.
She's not even singing?
Wow. She sings parts, some of it, but early on, especially, you see she's just sort of dancing and lip-syncing, as if it's out of habit that she's not used to actually singing any of her music. Corden was charming, as always. Asked her an interesting question, which I thought was relevant. She has a 9 and a 10-year-old, two kids from Kevin Federline. And he asked her if they had ever seen her perform in Vegas, which is a very adult, risque show.
Sure.
Here was her answer.
You had two kids close together. That's like the real, like, you weren't real back to back.
They're like twins, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look almost identical.
Have they seen your show? Have you, say, seen your Vegas show?
Yeah.
So what's it like, do you think, for them, if you're wearing like a racy outfit and you're sort of giving it?
I think they feel like, oh my God.
No, I'm saying, like, what is that like?
I feel like they know that's mommy performing. That's what I've done since I was a little girl. So they kind of, you know.
I just got, because I saw my mum in her underwear.
You're so dirty.
I'm not dirty. I can't shake the image from my brain.
You can't stop thinking about when he was 11 and saw his mom in her underwear.
So her kids are a year apart, but they're literally twins.
Literally twins.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Even though they're a year apart.
She's
the best, by the way.
She is the best.
As you watch this, you go, wow, she's deeply, deeply dumb.
Aww.
Well, Allie and I were talking about how she was handpicked by Disney as a Mouseketeer to be a star.
Yeah,
and
they just made her.
And they've just propped her up all these years.
Yeah.
And I also heard that she had never heard of James Corden or carpool karaoke before she did this feature with them.
She is by far the most sort of nervous and weirded out by the experience that you, if you watch any of James Corden's, most people get it.
Yeah.
She seems like, what is going on here? She just seems confused by the whole process. But
I sometimes get a little scared for Britney. Like, she's just being kept in a room, then they bring her out to perform, and then she's back in that room.
And the world is a scary place for her, you think?
Yes.
Well, she said she wants 3 more kids.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
That's going on. That'll be going on.
Please, no.
This is sad news for our buddy Dr. Drew. Apparently he's leaving HLN after being on for 5 years. Last show will be September 22nd. This is part of an overhaul of HLN by CNN, its parent network. And sources say the network is looking to go back to its roots as headline news. They want to do more news and less sort of lifestyle program content. Nancy Grace is also leaving the network as well.
Oh, well, that's good news.
That is good news. Look, every cloud has a silver lining. So, unfortunately, now Drew Pinsky will only have 17 jobs, they say here in this article. Drew. So I feel bad. I hope he can fill his empty hours with something.
We should have asked Alex Jones.
Yeah, right?
I mean, he does one interview about Hillary, all of a sudden his show's gone.
Boom. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Boom.
Hillary, am I right?
Right. He's lucky that she didn't have him killed.
Amen.
Right?
That's how the demon works.
By the way, I like Dr. Drew's show, and I'm sad to hear it go, but I also miss the old HLN where you used to be able to, any time of day or night, actually get news instead of 12 hours in a row with the forensic files.
All right, square. Whatever,
no, I'm
man.
Just saying.
Whatever
it's
with
not,
you.
It was nice.
You get hip, Daddy-O. Get back to Squaresville.
All right.
Man, you are straight four corners. Right, hep cats?
Stop it.
Oh, sorry.
Dr. Drew called me unfixable.
Right.
Lorde has finally revealed some info about her second album. She posted a photo from her vacation on Instagram this week. And then someone asked, hey, when's the follow-up to that little 2013 album going to be out? She got a little upset with that.
Mm-mm.
She said, give up on me if you want to. I'm an artist. I write and record when I have enough special stories to tell. And it's all me, every melody, every lyric, not some team who just start the machine up every 18 months like clockwork. The record is written. We're in the production stages now. I've worked like a dog for a year making this thing great for you guys.
Wow.
Wow.
It's a bit aggressive.
Lord. My goodness.
Don't at me.
So she's upset with her fans.
I mean, look, I don't think she should have said any of those things. But I can certainly see where she's coming from.
Here's an idea. Next time, right? Coming soon.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoy
right?
it. Try that. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. By the way, a lot of feedback on the ageless celebrity birthday list.
People like it.
People are
like
into it.
People are into it. So I think I'm going to go with that.
I like
why?
It.
Why do they say they like it?
They said because they also feel it's unfair to say people's ages. Maybe they don't want people to know how old they are.
Okay.
No, it's not good for Bean because Bean needs to know all
well,
of the information
how close
all
to
the
death
time.
They are, he
That's
needs.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's going to feel like. Information is being left mm-hmm. out of
but
the
I
story,
also,
and it's going to make him very agitated.
I also think
he's got to know.
No.
I also think
he has
it's,
to know.
Yeah. It's context, though. Like when, like you mentioned Macaulay Culkin earlier this morning.
Yes.
I like to put that in context. He's what, 36 or something?
He's 36 today. Oh, you just ruined it. Now you're just
no, but I'm saying
the rules.
But I'm saying that really that makes sense to me to be able to keep track of the passage of time. I can go, wow, that's how long ago the Home Alone movies were. If that dude is 36 years old, I like having that information.
Open up a blog,
okay?
If only it was available somewhere.
So now it's just names then.
Listen to the disappointment.
What? That's all we're doing now is we're just reading out of the phone book.
We're not reading out of the phone book at all. We're talking about these celebrities were born on this day.
Well, prove it. They may or may not have been born on this day.
What do you want, birth certificates, Donald?
Well, I'm just saying, with no ages, how do we know?
You're birther?
All right. Well, let's try and see how it feels.
Kiki Palmer from Scream Queen celebrates her birthday today, as does Dylan O'Brien. John Mulaney, the comedian, is also celebrating today. Macaulay Culkin and Chris Pine. Melissa McCarthy, Adrian Young of No Doubt, celebrating birthdays today, and Shirley Manson of Garbage.
Irvine Meadows, September 23rd, Ralph. You got another chance to see Garbage. They're on that bill with Jane's Addiction and the Cult and whatnot.
Yeah, celebrating 25 years of Lollapalooza, right? That's where it all started.
That's right.
And Jack FM, I believe, is putting that show together. Pretty good
line. I know a guy over there if you want some tickets.
Do you? Do you know Jack?
I do know Jack.
You do?
They play what they want to play over there. It's
That's
crazy.
What I hear.
It's chaos. It's madness.
They don't play what I want to hear, though. They only play what they want to hear.
No, because they're not playing any Herb Alpert.
Right?
Freaking lunatic.
Get with it.
I have all of Herb Alpert's records. You and Herb are the only two guys who have that.
How dare you?
How dare you? Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Not yet. Not yet. Couple more hours.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Keep on listening for you and your tickets to join us for our Breakfast with Sting.
Breakfast with Sting.
That is happening Wednesday in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. And if we haven't mentioned it enough, if you're not lucky enough to win your tickets, you can actually watch it. We're going to be streaming it live starting at 8 o'clock on Wednesday morning. The legend himself, Sting, is going to be here. I'm really looking forward to that.
Can't wait.
But between now and then, there's an actual holiday on the calendar. This Sunday is annual Go Topless Day, happening from 1 to 4 down at Venice Beach. Now, I know that there are some people listening who are just going, ooh, it's an excuse to see boobies. But it's actually a much bigger thing than that. It's actually about women's equality. We want to find out more about it and also just talk about boobies. So we have a spokesperson for Go Topless Day on the phone with us right now. Cassio Perrier joins us. Hi, Cassio. How are you?
Hi. I'm very well. How about you?
We're doing great. Thanks so much for joining us. I can't believe it's Go Topless Day already. Man, the years are just going by so fast, aren't they?
That's true.
How long has Go Topless Day been a thing here in America?
Say it again?
How long has Go Topless Day been recognized here in the U.S.? It's been a few years now, right?
It's been 9 years.
9 years, okay. And how did it start? Do you know?
It was founded by a whale, who is a spiritual leader in 2007.
What was his motivation? Why did he decide to start Go Topless Day? What was he trying to do?
Trying to women to have the same rights as men. That's pretty simple. You know, if the right to be topless in parks, on beaches, around the pool, etc., must be equal for all or for none. And this is how we're going to change the world, because if we don't have the same rights as men, how can we change the world? Mm-hmm. And women have a better position in society, and bringing more values of kindness and fitness. So that's the whole purpose, to have a cultural revolution that on all levels women can have the same rights as men.
I just wonder, for, you know, countries where women are allowed to go topless on the beach, are their rights the same as men? Do they get equal pay, that kind of thing? Has there been a movement towards all that?
On the beach is one thing, but it's also wherever men can be topless, women should also be topless without being harassed and arrested and have their quiet time being topless without being humiliated.
Right. I think what Ali is asking is, you know, you're saying that this is beyond just letting a lady take her top off if she wants. It's more about equal rights under the law for women and men. And she's wondering if other countries have done Go Topless Day and they made that legal there, and then that has spread and been to the benefit of women in that country in other ways as well.
Go Topless is international. So I'm not sure how it's happening in other countries.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it illegal in most places in the United States for a woman to go topless now?
It is illegal in most places. It is legal in New York City. Women can be topless on the street, walking, on the beach. But it is, and it's legal, I believe, in other cities. In Vermont, it is legal, but most of the country, it is illegal.
Okay. By the way, you can go to gotopless.org if you want more information about this. Before we wrap up here, Cassie, I have to ask, are there a lot of women out there? Yeah, they want the right to be able to go topless because they believe it's discriminatory. But in your experience, are there a lot of women who actually for themselves want to go topless? Like in New York City, is this something you will see commonly, or is it almost never that a lady will actually do it? They just want the right to do it.
What is important is the right to do it. After that, it's a personal choice if they want to do it or not. Myself, I live in Boston, so it's illegal So I don't really know during the year if a woman assert this right and if they exercise that right. But I think we have more and more articles where it shows that people are, women are doing it on the street more often now, because a lot of women don't even know that it's legal for them to be topless.
Okay. All right. Last question for you. And I know you mentioned you're an East Coast spokesperson for Go Topless Day, but do you have any idea how big the event is in Venice Beach here in California each year?
Well, last year there were hundreds of people, and hopefully, since it's growing and growing every year, hopefully there'll be thousands.
Okay. All right. Venice Beach, this Sunday, August 28th, from 1 till 4, is this year's Go Topless Day celebration. Cassio, thanks for jumping on with us today. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
I'm just saying, maybe Cassio wasn't the perfect person to talk to about Go Topless Day.
At what point during the interview did you think that?
Right after, hi, how are you?
Okay.
Pretty much.
Wow.
And it was booby talk. You'd think with booby talk, how could you screw that up, right?
I stopped saying booby. Second, that was the most boring conversation about breasts I've ever heard in my life.
I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that. Well, I did a bad thing.
All right. We'll take that out of the podcast. Sorry about that, you guys. Hey, Allie.
Yeah, Bean.
You made a reference to this a few minutes ago during the Showbiz Beat, and I think it is worth revisiting. When we heard the news yesterday that Dr. Drew's show was being taken off HLN. And by the way, my understanding is CNN still loves Dr. Drew. He's still a valuable member of the family, and he is going to be doing something else on the big the mothership on CNN proper.
They're keeping him on as a contributor.
They're keeping him on, yeah.
Yeah.
So the problem wasn't that. The problem is they're rebranding HLN. But it took 5 minutes after that news was announced for people to start putting the pieces together and going, wait a minute, wasn't Dr. Drew the one who was questioning Hillary Clinton's health last week? He's got a show for 5 years, then all of a sudden he says, wow, I'm not sure I trust the health care that she's getting. She doesn't look well to me. What's up with that? Boom! Next thing you know, the hammer drops.
Obviously, she called someone at CNN and said, take him off the air.
Right.
And they did.
Because CNN is in the bag for the Democrats, obviously. All they're doing is trying to spend 24 hours a day trying to get Hillary Clinton elected. So clearly, Dr. Drew was just an impediment, just a speed bump in the way of that.
Right.
So that's kind of how, look, maybe that's true. Maybe you believe that. But
it
that's
is not true.
That's kind of how conspiracy theories go, is thing A happens, and then after that, thing B happens. Mm-hmm. So in some people's mind, it's cause and effect.
Listen, if it was really Hillary doing this, she would have had him killed like the rest of the people she has killed.
That's a great point.
Right?
She's got a body count, that lady does.
That's so alleged.
That's why she's so tired. All the murdering, right?
So much murder. So that is that brings us into the topic, and it's been a long time since we've had you call in with your conspiracy theories at 1-800. It's my favorite. 1-800-520-1067. What is the connection that you are smart enough to make, but the rest of us don't see or don't believe? That's what we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. You caught wind of another one that happened in Hollywood just this week too, right?
Yeah. Remember a couple weeks ago when The Rock had put on his Facebook about thanking everybody from the movie that he had just done, from Fast 8, except he didn't name names at that point, but he said, except for, you know, one guy that's a candy ass, and basically people were trying to figure out who it was. Then it was revealed, oh, it's Vin Diesel. They've had this war of words for years. They hate each other, yada, yada, all this stuff. Well, now conspiracy theorists are saying not only is there no animosity between the two, but it's all leading up to The Rock taking on Vin Diesel's candy ass in WrestleMania right before the movie comes out.
How about that?
I love it, but come on.
You don't think it's possible?
No.
I mean, look, The Rock obviously still does a lot of WWE.
Sure.
He loves it.
Sure.
Vin Diesel would be a draw. That would cause, I mean, there would be a lot of attention on that if those two huge movie stars were to get in the ring. And, I mean, even though it's, you know, WWE, they wouldn't really be fighting.
Right.
People would want to see that. That would cause great attention on the two of them.
I would absolutely watch. But I think that The Rock is better than that.
I don't know. I like that. Okay. I hope that's not a conspiracy theory. I hope that's true.
Okay.
It wasn't that long ago that you, Allie McKay, mm-hmm. refused to believe that Tom Hiddleston really was dating Taylor Swift.
I still question it.
Hasn't it been like 3 months now?
It's a long con. It's how we do it. It's how we do the long con.
I remember week one when they were photographed together. You were like, oh, they're making a video.
A video about the media and how we're so obsessed with her life.
Right?
Yep.
All right. Well, I guess we'll find out what that one is. So what is your conspiracy theory? What is the thing that you know to be true the rest of us are just slow catching on with? 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with our man Jason? He's in Cerritos, and I feel like he's going to make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Jason, thank you for calling. Welcome to the show. What's going on, man?
Hey, thanks a lot for having me, guys. Basically, I feel like all these disease that's going around right now, especially with the Zika and all that,
mm-hmm.
I feel like the big pharmaceutical companies mm-hmm. are purposely spreading the disease in parts of the world so that these big export companies would have to pay these extra certificate fees now to, you know, send shipments out abroad to, like, China and stuff like that.
All right, hold on. Let me slow you down there. You mentioned Zika. Like, in the case of Zika, how do the pharmaceutical companies make money off it? Because they don't have a cure for that.
Exactly. Well, they're gonna get more funding to fund, make sure the scientists come up with the cure.
Oh, so you think the government will give the pharmaceutical companies more money? They'll invest more money in trying to find a cure for,
like,
Zika,
for trials and stuff.
Oh, yeah, interesting.
And also, every time the export companies send out shipments, now all their shipments need to have these certificates that says that all these things are, you know, there's no disease in these containers and stuff like that. So there's more money going around in the economy. So they're purposely sending these, disease and viruses out there.
Mm. Okay. And what made you think of this, Jason? When did it first occur to you?
My buddy just got into a shipping company, and he's been telling me about his...
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
All right. So last question, and maybe you can ask your buddy this if you don't know. So does this mean that there's somebody from the pharmaceutical company who's out there trying to catch mosquitoes that have the Zika virus and then spread them around in different parts of the world?
I don't know that, but...
Ooh, you stumped them.
I mean, if they're spreading the Zika virus, that's how you do it, is through mosquitoes. I mean, mm-hmm. I would guess they'd have to be dealing with mosquitoes. All right. We'll keep an eye on that. You could turn out to be true. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. All right, let's try, we got some good ones here. Let's go to Eric. He's in Ontario. He's on line 3. Eric's got a very popular theory that we've heard a lot of this year. Eric, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hey, I love you guys. I've been listening for years.
Thank you, sir.
So I heard this on the internet a while ago. It's that Donald Trump is a shill for Hillary Clinton's campaign for president.
That started real early when there were pictures of Hillary and Bill at Donald and Melania's wedding. And people were like, wait a minute, they're good friends.
And by the way, he has donated to Hillary in the past.
Every year.
He has donated large amounts mm-hmm. of money. I think like over $100,000 to the Clinton Foundation.
I think largest donation was to the Clinton Foundation.
And now he's on the stump all the time talking about how that's, that's evil and it's a sham and blah, 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 blah. So you think that this is the Clintons masterminding a situation where they put up a candidate that they know that they're going to beat. That way the election is in the bag.
I mean, at first I was like, no, that's crazy. But then every time he starts getting ahead in the polls, he does something crazy.
Right.
And I'm like, whoa, wait a second here.
Dude, when that comes out, is that going to be the greatest story ever? That the whole thing was just a joke?
It'll be great.
I love it. All right. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to Jessie. She's in Ontario. Up next, line 1. Taking your conspiracy theory calls, 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Jessie.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Great. What do you got for us? Enlighten us.
Okay, my theory is, you know how a couple years ago everyone had to do away with just regular TV and the antenna that hooked up to your TV from the house? And
yeah,
now
the rabbit ears.
Got to get some kind of, exactly. That doesn't work anymore. You need mm-hmm. to get some kind of cable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think that the government watches and monitors and knows what's going on in everyone's living room.
Are they watching us through the TV?
I think they have, like, some kind of computer or something that looks, like, for keywords here, like, you know, maybe, like, Al-Qaeda or, you know, I mean, I don't know. I think they've got some kind of list that red flags people that, you know, goes to certain people, and then eventually, you know, they narrow it down, and it eventually gets to the government, and they know what the hell is going on.
There are people that do believe that Wi-Fi is doing that, that it's detecting our facial patterns, the way we move, the way we talk, everything, even when we're not in front of the TV, anywhere in our home.
That is scary. That is scary.
Now, Allie, you have been covering the camera on your laptop for years with tape.
That's because people can hack in.
Right.
Those are like people, that's like a guy named Joe in his basement.
Right, but what, or a guy named Bean in his, but what are you going to do about the TV? If the government is looking at you through your TV, how are you going to stop that?
Well, enjoy me on my couch, government, because that ain't changing.
Jesse, I think you're on to something. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
You guys have a great one.
You too.
Okay, you too. All right, 1-800-520-1067. This is all good stuff, by the way.
I feel like people need to bring the crazy more. You're all saying stuff that makes sense to me.
So far, it all does make pretty good sense. But what's your conspiracy theory? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. I feel like this segment, Allie, is the most important work we'll do all year because we're dropping some truth bombs right now.
I agree, Bean. I agree.
Your conspiracy theories at 1-800-520-1067. We already learned that Donald Trump is a plant to ensure that Hillary Clinton is elected. We already learned that Dr. Drew was fired from CNN for saying that Hillary Clinton did not look healthy.
Right.
We already learned that Vin Diesel and The Rock, it's all a scam. They're not really feuding. It's just a WrestleMania promotion. Mm-hmm. And the government apparently is watching us through our TVs. We learned that as well. Yep. Let's find out something else the government is doing. Let's go to Jessica. She's in Orange. She's on line 4 at 1-800-520-1067. Hey, Jess, thanks for calling. Thank you for holding on. What do you know?
Hi, Kevin and Bean. I actually can't take credit for this one. This was posited to me by my friend Shy, and I'm not sure how I feel about it, but I think it's really interesting, and I wanted to share it.
Absolutely.
Her theory was that Pokemon Go is being used by the government or the police department to keep an eye on people that they would like to keep a closer eye on. For example, if there's like a drug lord or, you know, a terrorist suspect, Pokemon Go might place a rare Pokemon in front of their house so that they get a whole bunch of little kids going and pointing their phones with their cameras at the house to watch them.
Yes, I've heard this.
I will tell you, and this is true, that there have been people on sex offender registries who have been arrested for playing Pokemon Go because they find themselves on a playground or a place where they're not allowed to be. So in that case, the government is definitely looking out for where you're at. That's a good point.
Yeah.
I think I like it.
Again, I thought it was quite interesting.
I think so, too. Thank you, Jessica. Appreciate the call so much. Let's go to Sarah. She's in Fullerton. She's got one that's going to break some hearts, I think. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to the show. What do you know?
Hi. I don't know about those other theories. They sound fake, but okay.
But your theory is real.
Yes, my theory is real. Okay, so you know Louis Tomlinson from One Direction?
Sure.
Do I?
Of course you do. Anyway, so supposedly he had a baby with this woman earlier this year.
Uh-huh.
But there's theories that the baby's fake. And it's, well, now it's real because it's a, you know, a hired baby. But the woman never gave birth.
Why would that be, though? What would they be covering up by having a fake baby?
Well, there's a whole other conspiracy with that. And his, let's just say he never had sex with that woman.
So
because Luis is gay?
Well, I'm not going to go there. I'm just talking about the baby.
So, but wait a second. I mean,
I don't.
Usually a girlfriend and then a baby would be some sort of a cover story for something. Mm-hmm. Or is that what you're
suggesting?
What's
the cover-up?
Yeah, what are they trying to hide?
There is a big cover-up. I'm sure you've probably heard of that theory, which I haven't.
Well, I'm sorry that I'm not up to date with my One Direction theories.
What is the cover-up?
The cover-up is that he and one of his bandmates are in a long-term relationship.
Okay.
Is it Harry?
Behind them.
Is it Harry?
It better be Harry.
Sarah,
that's the only,
Harry?
That's the only
Tell
reasonable
me, for
choice.
For the love of God.
Maybe.
All right.
This is making
yeah,
insanely
anyway,
good sense to me.
Separate from the baby thing.
So okay. All right. Well, we're gonna have to dig a little deeper into that, but you make a lot of sense. Thank you very much for the call, Sarah. I appreciate it. Wow. Fake relationship and fake baby,
wow.
You guys.
That's a lot.
All right. Let's talk to Larry. He's in Santa Monica, and you're going to think Larry is crazy, but he is one of thousands of people who believe this one. Larry, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. What's the conspiracy theory you're calling to share?
All right. Listen, I know a lot of people think this is crazy, but, you know, with, you know, Sandy Hook and, you know, the Orlando shooting, you know, like, it just seems so, weird that, you know, the government, you know, pounces on, you know, gun owners as soon as this stuff happens. And it seems like it's, you know, it's staged by the government to, it just seems like staged by the government.
All right,
know,
hold on. Let me interrupt. Let me try to translate for, because I think I speak Larry. I think I speak Larry.
Okay.
So you're not saying the government is killing all these people. You're saying the government is trying to use these mass shootings to take your guns away. Is that what your suspicion is?
Well, I'm not a gun owner, but I'm just saying that.
To take some people's guns away.
Yeah, correct.
So the mass shootings are fake. They're false flags is what you're saying.
Correct.
Now, Alex Jones had a guy on his show last year who said that Sandy Hook didn't happen, and those were all child actors that were hired for that video to make it look like they'd been killed.
Well, correct. Yeah, that's right. You know, because, you know, at the Super Bowl, they resurrected the Sing, at the Super Bowl with Jennifer Hudson,
I'm gonna
need you to explain what you just said. What?
Okay. They at the Super Bowl, right?
Yes.
The year after that happened,
uh-huh.
they sang at the Super Bowl, like with Jennifer Hudson, or like the national anthem or something.
Okay.
And they said, "Oh my god!" And people saw like, "Oh my god!" Like. They, that's the same, kid who was killed, and...
Oh, wait a second. You're saying there was a kid at that Super Bowl who was supposed to be one of the kids that was killed at Sandy Hook, so therefore the whole thing was a fake?
Correct.
See, now, I didn't know anything about
that. I did not know that.
I missed that.
Okay.
I missed that. Okay.
There's a bunch of videos on YouTube.
I'm sure there are.
Larry, I think you're maybe spending too much time on the internet, but I want to thank you for calling. Thank you for sharing anyway.
All right, no problem.
Okay. That got dark, right?
Huh.
I'm gonna have to get back to you on that.
Okay.
If we have time for just one more conspiracy theory.
I don't think so.
This listener writes in and says, Kevin Ryder disappeared in Brazil during the last World Cup and has since then been voiced by Ralph Garman. That may actually be true, by the way.
That is ridiculous. That is not even half true.
I haven't seen Kevin in person since that World Cup, so it's very possible, I think.
I love soccer.
8:54, time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Friday morning. What's going on?
Well, we have to say goodbye.
Uh-oh.
To Dr. Drew Pinsky's show on HLN. Mm-hmm. Our buddy Dr. Drew. Leaving the network after 5 years on September 22nd. Has nothing to do with Drew. CNN, the parent network of HLN, apparently trying to get back to their HN roots. Headline news. HLN. They want to go with more news-centric programming. And less talk and lifestyle stuff. So Nancy Grace is leaving. And Dr. Drew's show also.
It's a horrible idea.
It's going away. So I'll miss that show. I like that show.
I did too. Dr. Drew is very good on TV.
I'm guessing Drew will be picked up immediately by another network. And somebody will put him on to.
No, I think he's going to stay with CNN. I think they're going to work him into the mothership. I think he's going to be part of the main CNN now.
Oh, I didn't have that information here.
I think that's the plan, yeah.
You should have added that last time we talked about the story.
Is that right, Drew?
But it was...
Okay.
So it is or isn't, funny boy? What is it?
It is.
Yes. Yeah, he's going to be part of CNN.
He's going to be a contributor.
Okay,
different shows.
Ryan Lochte just can't...
Guilty.
He just can't shoot himself in the foot. Can't be bad enough. Can't be dumb enough. Can't be awful enough to lose money. He just got a deal with the Pine Brothers Throat Lozenge Company to be their spokesperson. He's going to be the new face of their print and TV campaign. The CEO of the company says, we all make mistakes. You know what? If you kick down a door and pee on a gas station, that's not really a mistake so much as it is bad behavior.
Right. It's just being blotto drunk out of your mind and not caring what you do.
Well, Ryan's going to be their new spokesperson. Here's their new campaign. Pine Brothers Throat Lozenges are... forgiving on your throat. And so, you see, people who need forgiveness can just pop a Pine Brothers and then it's forgiving on your
I over-exaggerated that story.
Did you? Or was it a lie?
Yeah.
Which
right.
one was it?
I think we call that a lie.
Pine Brothers says, in honor of Lochte, they're going to have a new flavor, rum. Great. Rob Lochte also looks like he's going to be appearing on Dancing with the Stars this coming season.
Really?
So he will get even more attention and money. This comes from USA Today. A person familiar with the deal is quoted in the story saying that Lochte will be announced as a cast member for the 23rd season when the lineup is announced next Tuesday, August the 30th.
I don't have any names on the tip of my tongue here, Ralph, but haven't other celebrities kind of used Dancing with the Stars to give us something new to talk about?
Who was that cooking lady who hated black people?
Paula Deen.
Yeah, she danced, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Herb Alpert, he was on there, remember? That one
I'm
time?
Not sure. I don't think I remember him.
He was a racist and a farter.
I don't think that's true at all.
We found out, this has been a magical week for Facts About Bean. We have a new segment called Facts About Bean. We found out that, first of all, he went to Graceland over 7 times, inexplicably.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love the king.
And he owns all of Herb Alpert's albums.
I'm still a big fan. He's still a great artist. You don't hear him much on the radio anymore. That doesn't mean he stopped making good music.
He blows.
No, he blows
in 1967 was the peak of his career, and now...
Look, Ralph, there are a lot of artists who aren't on the radio anymore. It doesn't mean they're not making good records.
He's barely alive. He's not just on the radio. He's barely on the planet.
It just means that he's not contemporary anymore. It doesn't mean he's bad.
Well, he's not bad because he did give $10 million to Los Angeles City College in order to help kids who can't afford a musical education pay full tuition for private classes and for instruments. So these kids will be able to have a career in music thanks to old, talentless Herb Alpert donating
$10
million.
Wow.
He used to run A&M Records. That was a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
He was the A.
Alpert.
Thank you.
And M was...
Charlie Manson. Nope,
yeah.
Jerry Moss.
Manson. Charlie
nope.
Manson. Yeah,
that's not
Albert
true.
Manson would get together. Charlie would, Herb Albert would bring in the new musical acts, and then Charlie would kill them, I think.
That is not true.
That doesn't sound like a good business
model. He killed Karen Carpenter. She was on the label.
Yeah,
Manson killed her.
I don't know. Ask Tori Spelling's mom.
Celebrity birthdays. The big controversy today regarding celebrity birthdays. We were doing a story this week about Gabriel Carteris. Gabriel Carteris?
That's right, yes. From Beverly Hills
90210. Who was the president of SAG, saying that she wanted to have it be outlawed on casting websites to put a performer's age on there because ageism is so real in Hollywood it was costing people their jobs. So then I said, maybe I should not give ages out for celebrities when I do the celebrity birthdays. I'll just mention their birthdays because this way I won't be outing anyone's age. And so I got a ton of response from that, people saying, yeah, that's a good idea, you should do that. So now I did that. And then Dave said, let's put up a poll and see what people think.
Okay.
Because Bean said, I need to know the ages because I need to know things.
Well, it just puts...
What about a fact? You're missing a fact.
It puts the celebrity in context. Look, if it's William Shatner's birthday, that doesn't mean anything to me. If William Shatner is 86, now I've got something to think about.
Really? Do you? What do you have to think about? What kind of thoughts are you having after that information is imparted to you?
In that case, just wow, how amazing it is that he's so vital and so busy at his age.
Anyway, we put an online poll up via Twitter to see what people thought. 84% of our listenership who bothered to respond said they need the ages with the birthdays.
Oh, now that's interesting. Refreshing all of
the exactly. Oh, I'm Joe Smith. I would like to have the ages as well. So 84% of you would like to know how old a celebrity is when we mention their birthday. So the people have spoken. I'm nothing if not democratic. And so from now on.
Yeah, you libtard.
Ages. Ages. Nothing but ages. Celebrities' birthdays today. Kiki Palmer of Scream Queens is 108 years old. It's amazing. She looks so much better than that.
She does look good.
Dylan O'Brien is 4. I had no idea. He's a very mature 4-year-old for a toddler. John Mulaney, comedian John Mulaney. He's actually 34 years old today. Macaulay Culkin, the kid from Home Alone, is 36. Same age as Captain Kirk, Chris Pine. Melissa McCarthy is 46 years old today. Adrian Young, our pal from No Doubt, turns 47. And garbage singer Shirley Manson celebrates her 50th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Yep. Hey, yep. Dave, the King of Mexico, welcome to the studio, my friend.
How you doing?
Are you the producer who's responsible for booking the lady from the Go Topless Day last hour? Was that you? Was that your exhaustive screening process that got her on our show?
You're the host who wanted a spokesperson, and you're the
but
host
I didn't
who
want
got
that
one.
Did you speak to her, though, before?
I did. She was actually fine until Bean talked to her about
oh, so she
being
was
topless.
Wow. So she was great on just...
So she had a ton of facts with you? She knew about her cause with you?
She knew about a day that
wow.
was topless.
Really? Because
I felt
wow.
like we had called her at home, woken her up, and yeah. surprised her with our line of questioning is what it sounded like
I
to
think
us.
She Bean went, I'm Bean, and she went,
that wasn't ah! anything like that at all. We were
and
trying real
then
hard
Allie
with
was
her.
Like, ah! And you were like, ah!
All right. Well, let's move on and forget that ugliness and turn our attention to this, a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
I don't know why there are some people on the internet who have to take good things and poop all over them, but this is what has happened again with this latest trailer for the Rogue One, the new Star Wars movie that's coming out this December. Which looks fantastic, by the way. But the same jackholes that took the A Force Awakens trailer and shoehorned Jar Jar Binks into it are at it again.
Ugh.
Why does Rogue One need Jar Jar Binks? Why
Nothing
would they do this?
Jar Jar
Nothing
Binks.
Needs Jar Jar Binks. But here's a little bit of what that sounds like.
Binks. The world is coming undone.
State your name for the record.
Mr. Jar Binks.
Can you be trusted without your shackles?
On second thought, no. Not really, no. Hoi, hoi.
In however many years it's been since those Star Wars prequels came out, Jar Jar Binks has become shorthand for the worst of all possible ideas. Why won't we let it go?
I think I'm turning, and I think I'm enjoying him now. Ugh, especially in this little spurts of Jar Jar.
Ugh.
Allie, how much of that video were you able to get through?
I just took my earphones out of my ears during that clip.
Yeah, it's too much, right?
I hate it.
I hate it so much. There's a very funny movie out right now starring our friend Mike Birbiglia, who wrote and directed it. I think it's called The Don't Think Twice. And it's a movie all about improv. And they decided that it would be funny to make an intentional viral video, which, as you know, is very difficult to do. So all of the cast members are participating in this, including Key from Key and Peele and also Gillian Jacobs, who are both stars of the movie. Here they are trying to put together a viral video.
Keegan, you should do it.
I mean, that's what your whole thing are, viral videos.
Yeah, you're like a YouTube star.
No, guys, Key and Peele... is a television show.
No, I watched it on YouTube.
I saw it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, guys, it's a TV show.
Kind of.
We won a Peabody.
I'm the star of a TV show.
It's on Netflix.
Very funny to see those guys back all together again. Well, the Olympics are in our rearview mirror. This is a great video. It's like 11, 12 minutes, something like that. It's not only news bloopers, but it's just some of the funniest things that happen out of the live TV coverage of Rio, including this very memorable moment.
And for those asking what's going on in the background on social media now, we're not going to zoom in, but rest assured, it's not that. It's just a hug. There's a bit of... They're reading a book. Apparently they are reading a book. They're reading a book in a strange pose.
So that's a guy for BBC who's standing in front of a couple that is clearly doing it on the beach.
Right.
And he's got to do that play-by-play. Very funny stuff. Emmy-nominated Honest Trailers are back. I don't know in all the hundreds of Honest Trailers videos I've watched, I don't think I've ever seen them love a movie as much as they loved The Jungle Book that came out earlier this year. But still, they had to figure out a way to make fun of it.
Journey deep inside a downtown Los Angeles blue screen studio where a grown man spent months playing with a little boy in his underwear that they turned into this? Holy crap. There, you'll meet Mowgli. A parkour-loving orphan MacGyver who must leave the safety of his family to escape Shere Khan, a scary f***ing tiger.
I love that series so much, Honest Trailers. Mm-hmm. Something else I love, I'm fascinated with how musicians work in the studio. The creative process that goes from an idea to making a fully formed song, I can never get enough. I read so many books about how songs are put together, and this is a great video that Metallica has shared about the making of their new single, Hardwired. If you ever wanted to be a fly on the wall to see how a song gets built from the ground up, check this out from Metallica.
This is getting better.
I don't know if the better that
If you sing it like that with your shoulders up, it's definitely got a different feel.
I love that. They're just having so much fun, too, making that song.
That's exactly really cool. How I write my songs. Man,
right?
Musicians, they're just like us.
Nope. You thought you never needed to hear All Star by Smash Mouth again? Well, you were wrong, because someone has edited together clips from various Disney movies throughout the year singing All Star. Check it out.
Hey, now you're an All Star.
Get your game on.
Go play.
Hey, now you're a
rock star.
Get the show on.
Get paid.
And
all that.
Glitter
is
gold.
Only
shooting
stars
break the mold.
I have bad news. That song will get stuck in your head all over again. It's
you were right,
catchy.
Though. We don't need to hear it anymore.
We don't need it?
No.
Ryan Lochte, as you know, as we were just talking about in the Showbiz Beat, he has become internationally famous as a big fat liar. So the internet has had a lot of fun with his interview that he did, sitting down with Matt Lauer. Well, Stephen Colbert did his own edit of him talking to Ryan Lochte. It's pretty funny.
You claim that while you were at a gas station in Rio, a gun was put to your forehead and cocked, and you were robbed. Now you're saying that didn't happen?
That didn't happen, and that's why I over-exaggerated that part.
That part. Okay, here's the thing. That part is really the whole part. Without a gun cocked at your forehead, it's really just a story about some guys urinating on a gas station.
Also, Ryan Lochte's interview with Matt Lauer has now been songified. You'll like this.
Were you robbed?
I don't know. All I know is
I was a drunk frat boy.
One night.
Why'd you do that?
I don't know why.
No way.
I had too much to drink.
The entire world had to watch this for the last week.
Under that influence, still intoxicated.
I think so.
I know so.
I over-exaggerated
these tactics.
These shenanigans.
I'm gonna nature this and grab that again.
Very catchy. We're going through the best viral videos of the week on the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup. My new hero is this young fourth grader. His name is Kevin.
Of course it is.
Of course it's Kevin. And he is talking about how excited he is for his first day of fourth grade.
And also my mom thinks I'm a baby, so I can't walk to school sometimes. And also she thinks I need protective gear when I need to ride a bike.
You probably do. I think I agree with you.
I know how to ride a bike already, even without protective gear.
I love this little kid so much.
That's Kevin.
And Ellie, were you so sad when you found out he only had one friend from his last school?
Oh, but he hopes to make more friends this year at this new school. Oh.
I'll be friends with you, little Kevin.
Oh,
you're awesome.
Don't do it, Kevin.
He's awesome.
Stay away from the bad man, Kevin.
As you know, our friend Jimmy Kimmel is currently running for vice president of the United States, but he does have someone who's out to get him, someone who doesn't want to see that happen, and it's his old foe Matt Damon, who's put together an attack ad against Jimmy.
He has proven to be deceitful.
Apologies to Matt Damon, we did run out of time for him.
If Jimmy Kimmel Ben Affleck, who's he gonna next? America.
Paid for by Citizens for a Kimmel-Free America.
That, by the way, has turned into one of the great love stories of our time, Matt Damon and Jimmy Kimmel. Will they just hurry up and get married already and quit circling each other? And finally, Dave, this is a real, this Honest Car Sales is a real place in Kansas City that sells
sir.
Used cars?
Yep.
If you've ever complained that you think that car ads are deceitful and they don't give you the true story and they make it look better than it really is, then you're going to love the honesty of this guy who's trying to sell you cars. Check this out.
If you want a warranty, we warranty this bitch would get to your house the f*** away from here. Because, like I said, the motor ain't blown up, the train ain't slipping, you cannot come back tripping. F*** the radio, f*** your windows, f*** your seat, f*** your heat, f*** your air if it don't work. Because you should have tried that out before you mother bought it. As is mean as the f*** is. We don't try to be hard on you, but God damn it, you get what you pay for, man.
You get what you pay for, man. Finally, somebody telling it the way it is. You can see all these videos and so much more right now at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey.
How about
right?
this
mm-hmm.
for a plan? How
yes.
about this?
Okay.
One more look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday Kevin and Bean show. Then we sing that little song, and then boom, we're out the door.
I love it.
Let's do it.
It's a good plan. Tonight, by the way, speaking of good plans, what are your plans for tonight? Orange County.
I'm going to Irvine to the Improv to see Ralph and Kevin Smith.
Just the what a gift he has, huh?
Seamless,
it was
right?
Seamless. It was like effortless.
You couldn't even tell it was a paid promotional advertisement.
Naturally, he's like a young Gene Hackman.
Gene Hack.
Oh snap!
Yeah.
Tonight at the Irvine Improv, Hollywood Babylon is taking the stage down in Orange County. Me, Mr. Kevin Smith, we're gonna babble all over you.
No.
So get ready for it.
Yeah, no. Wear a raincoat.
Those of you in the front row, you're gonna get babbled on.
It's like a Gallagher show.
It is.
That just, ain't watermelon.
Just babble everywhere. We're doing the show tonight, 10 p.m. at the Improv in Irvine. Would love to have the Orange County folks come out and join us. It's going to be a pretty good time. We got at least one.
Oh, no.
At least one Miss Double December is coming to the show tonight.
Really?
Oh, which one?
Melissa.
Oh, she's a good one.
Yeah, she is a good one. So come on out and join us. You go to improv.com to get your tickets for tonight's show.
No, barf.
All right, that lady won't come, but maybe this lady will. Hey, remember Rebecca Black?
Sure.
Friday.
It's Friday. Remember how awful she was?
Nailed it.
She's got a brand new song out called The Great Divide. Uh-huh. And now she's so boring.
Because now she can sing?
Yes. Now she sounds just like everybody else. She said she needed to find her voice. That's why she wasn't very successful after the initial ironic success of Friday.
Yeah.
She's all growed up, and she said she's looking forward to a second shot at musical stardom. And now she's just 19 years old, by the way. Imagine being washed up before you're 19 and trying to mount your comeback at 19.
That's sad.
Do we have some of her new music?
Yeah, I'd like to hear. Talk about it. It's a brand new song.
All right.
It's called The Great Divide. And it's a big power ballad. And I'll tell you something. Sounds pretty good. I'm shocked. Here's a little taste of The Great Divide.
Wash my hands, turn my back. I don't need the memories we had. I'm leaving you behind. Across the great divide.
That's not terrible. That's not terrible at all.
Not terrible at all. Which is no fun whatsoever. Right. That could have been any. That could have been
Sia,
Ariana Grande,
right?
Or Sia or any one of those young singers, and it would have been. Oh yeah, fine.
I do remember about a year after Friday when she was the embarrassment of the internet.
Yes.
She started posting little videos of her singing pop songs, just her voice, mm-hmm. just her on a YouTube video. And I remember at that time being impressed with how much better she was singing even then.
Yeah.
So it sounds like she's real committed to this and has worked on it. I mean, at the time, we just kind of dismissed her as being some spoiled rich kid. Her parents paid a bunch of money to put her in a video
talent. Let's not cast away that concept completely.
No, that might have been true, but it sounds like she is sticking with it, and she's at least serious about trying to make it.
Yeah, so here's your new music from Rebecca Black.
It was awful what the internet did to her, by the way.
Well,
I mean, she was terrible, but she was just a little kid.
Right, but again, I hold the parents responsible.
Absolutely.
Because if she's 15, 16 years old, and you spend the money and you go to Patrice Wilson and you say, yeah, write a song and do a video for my kid, and then we're going to release it on the internet, and we're going to allow everything that's out there in the internet to pass judgment on my child. If that's your modus operandi as a parent, you fail. Mm-hmm. Just don't do that to a kid. Don't open them up to that.
Right.
Right?
Well, I wish her the best.
I'm bored with her now.
What about the, remember the Thanksgiving girl?
Oh, it's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
We are gonna have a good time.
Uh-huh.
Nicole something or other? I wonder what she's up to.
I don't know, but I hope she's still awful. Because awful is entertaining to me.
Ralph needs it.
Mediocre gives me nothing. Mm-hmm. I can't hate it. I can't love it. It's just there.
Yeah.
And then there was the girl who did the
Chinese. Potatoes, yeah. Wasn't that song?
That was her, yes.
Turkey legs, yeah. Did they get all excited about the menu? Yams, yeah. Pass the bread, please, yeah. Did everybody like would cheer around the table?
That was a great song.
A great song.
And then there was the girl who did the Chinese food song.
Yes.
You remember her?
Yes. Chinese food.
Yeah.
You know that it's true.
seem like there were some similarities in all of those Patrice Wilson productions.
Yes, there were. There was a lot of enthusiasm for not things that you get enthusiastic about.
Right.
Remember the alphabet one? There was a girl who just went to the alphabet?
No.
Oh, yes, there was. Yeah.
Oh, let me see.
She was like, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, yes. She would just sang the alphabet.
That was, here it is. It's Allison Gold was her name.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, L, T.
By the way, they all sound exactly the same, don't they?
Yeah. Remember, Patrice Wilson almost came on our show.
Yep. And then we were very close to getting that interview.
Then I think he heard us. And then opted not to. Probably a wise choice on his part.
He has a talent for extracting money from rich white people.
that's a good talent to have.
Absolutely. You can make a living that way.
Wish I had that. Speaking of rich white people, for the most part, Dwayne The Rock Johnson tops the list of top 10 highest paid actors last year by Forbes magazine. Now, in his case, he's not a rich white person. He's a rich, small
multi-ethnic
right?
person. Yeah. He's got a little bit of everything in him.
Does he?
Oh, yeah. He will not admit to what his heritage is, I think. He wants to be all things to all people, The Rock.
Mm-hmm. Kenyan, right? Muslim. Won't give us his birth certificate.
Probably not born in America.
Like that.
Yeah,
another
probably.
Situation like that. Yeah, top of the Forbes magazine highest paid actor list for the past year, $64.5 million is how much he has. Now, admittedly, he has been in 27 films this year. So.
Right, it's hard to miss him.
Yeah.
What do you think, Ralph, of The Rock's? Look, he's incredibly charming.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of his acting ability?
I think he's real good.
I like him, too.
I think he's natural, and he's compelling, and he draws you in. I think he's got a real gift. Absolutely. He is not based on hype or popularity, or is not riding on his wrestling fandom any longer. Maybe initially when he was doing stuff like the Scorpion King and things like that, but he has grown into a full-blown, really talented comic performer. I mean, above and beyond his action stuff, he's a real deft comic actor as well.
So. I agree. And, I watch him on Ballers every Sunday night on HBO. And he is so good on that show. I mean, even doing the dramatic stuff, he's really impressive.
Looks real good in a suit.
Yeah. Even better out of one.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
I am. I don't need you to do that.
Jackie Chan was second on the list with $61 million.
Another white guy.
Yep. All these white guys. How come a white man can't get a job in Hollywood,
You're
right?
You're right, Ralph. You are right.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Jackie Chan. How about white people getting a role once in a while, Hollywood?
Agreed.
Well, I hope there's some Denzel
Oscar
and some,
so brown.
Some Denzel and some Kevin Hart and some others on this list.
How was Kevin Hart not on this list?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
Matt Damon was third. Finally, a white guy shows up, right?
Asshole.
$55 million he made over the past year. Tom Cruise, $53 million, made him number four. Johnny Depp was fifth with $48 million. I'm just subtract seven from that. $41 million at number five. Ben Affleck, sixth on the list with $43 million. Then Vin Diesel at number seven. Robert Downey Jr. and Bollywood actor Shah Rukh Khan tied at number 8 and 9 with $33 million each. And then Akshay Kumar. Mm-hmm. Akshay Kumar, another Bollywood actor, $31.5 million.
Seriously, where's Kevin Hart?
I just told you I don't know.
Seriously, though.
I'll tell you something disturbing. Just out of the top 10, at number 11 is Brad Pitt with $31.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then at number 12, take a guess.
It's disturbing.
It's disturbing. Number 12. Comedian.
Dane Cook.
No. Why?
You said disturbing.
This is disturbing, but it's not. It's reasonable.
Comedian who's also an actor.
Yes.
Adam Sandler.
Oh, there you go.
12th on the list with $30 million.
Wow.
Right?
Right.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Kiki Palmer from Scream Queens, 23 years old today. Actor Dylan O'Brien, The Maze Runner.
He's the one who got hurt real bad,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they had to postpone production because he had a serious injury on the set, 25 years old. Comedian John Mulaney is 34 years old. Macaulay Culkin, little Home Alone kid. He's all grown up at 36 years old age. Chris Pine, Captain Kirk in the brand new Star Trek reboot, 36 years old today. He's also going to be Steve Trevor in the Wonder Woman movie. That guy gets it all.
Right.
Melissa McCarthy's 46 years old. Adrian Young, from No Doubt. It's 47 years old. And the reason we celebrate the day, August 26th, is because on this day, 50 years ago, an angel was sent to Earth. A little piece of stardust fell to the planet in a country known as Scotland. And then we were all blessed with singer Shirley Manson. Well, I think I'm paranoid. Ah. You used to see her prowling around the stage when you hear this song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She owns the stage when she's out there. Owns it.
Forget the, it's going to seem like a cheap attempt at a pun, but is Shirley your number one crush, Ralph? I apologize up front. I'm not trying to make a joke. I mean, number one crush, Shirley Manson, it's got to be. There's no one, no woman you'd love more than you love her, right?
She's got to be up there.
Yeah,
gotta
she's be. Top three.
Got to
yeah,
be. Me too, by the way.
It's hard for me to say Charlize because Charlize and I have, you know, an actual relationship.
Yeah.
We're actually, you know, very, very much
Well, you have been circling each other for some time. It's only a matter of when you'll get together, not,
so
not
it,
if.
It's almost, mm-hmm. it's hard to put her in that category because right. our love is real and tangible. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in terms of crushes, perhaps, I think Shirley Manson would have to be right up there. Yeah,
yeah, if you're going to dream, you might as well dream for the top.
She's so talented. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Thank you so much, Ralph. Enjoyed working with you this week. You as well, Allie. We promise you guys, Kevin is going to be back next week. Trust us on this.
Not right
not
away.
Dead.
Yeah. Not right away, but
maybe
eventually.
Not Monday.
He'll, he'll ease into Monday. It. He'll ease into the week. Don't get us wrong.
Look, he's not going to work a full 5-day week. Come on.
That's for suckers.
The SoCal Help for Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home. That's today at 5. Some great guests for you next week, including Henry Winkler back on the show next
hey.
Week. Also, Jim Atkins from Jim Eat World is going to be stopping by with some brand new music for you on Tuesday. Felipe Esparza next week. Actor Tyler Levine is going to be on the program. RJ Bell, because it's NFL season preview time. Yeah. Colvin Domingo from Fear of the Walking Dead. And, of course, your Bachelor in Paradise reports all next week here on K-Rock.
Don't bogart that joint. My friend, pass it over to me.
Oh, they'll love this
Don't
downtown, folks.
That joint, my friend.
Oops.
Pass it over to me.
Rock and roll, hoochie coo.
Roll another one.
Wow, you gotta check it out.
Just like the other one.
Tell me more, Professor.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I rebuke this in the name of the Lord.
I need another hit.
And the answer that I think I always ask, and I'm sure it can't possibly be this simple, is stop it.
Well said, Kevin.
Roll.
Kip Kapilski here.
Just like the other one.
Good guy. Nice man.
This one seems to be about to end.
Yeah, I don't think you guys know, man.
I don't have another cent.
Let me ask you a question. What do you think of a person who only does the bare minimum?
That's an airtight argument, though.
Just pass it around.
How about the basketball game?
Wouldn't say that to Tom Petty.
Just pass it on down.
I gotta go.
You best get out of town.
Wait, are you seriously saying that like that? Is this a Western?
Shut your mouth, you do nothing. You do nothing. Not one of you will do nothing. Get the out of here. Get the out of here.
Oh, of course. Another one leaves you. Thanks a lot, not with the garbage.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Beep boop, transmission ended.
Yeah, 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 that's what we do. That's how we do this, yo.
Go Ducks. Bye, guys.